This is PFW in Progress.
You guys are arresting me for getting thrown out of a window? I got thrown out of a window, man! You would tell me, so what's the charge?
Disturbing the peace.
Disturbing the peace? I got thrown out of a window! What's the charge of getting pushed out of a moving car, huh? Jaywalking?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Yes. I'm looking for a gray-haired gentleman, very dark-skinned Capricorn. Tell him that I went to the clinic today, and I found out that I have herpes simplex 10. And I think Victor should go check himself out with his physician to make sure everything is fine before things start falling off on him.
Paul Perillo.
Wow. You know, it says here that by the time the average American is 50, he's got 5 pounds of undigested red meat in his bowels.
Why are you telling me this? What makes you think I have any interest in that at all?
Well, you eat a lot of red meat.
And Andy. And Andy?
Jesus.
Andy Hart.
How you doing?
Some guy named Tom.
Is this the man who wrecked the buffet at the Harrow Club this morning?
Lower your voice, for Christ's sake.
What, can a guy hear me through the wall?
Yes, he can.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
We're not going to fall for a banana in the tailpipe. You're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
It should be more natural, brother. It should flow out like this. Look, man, I ain't falling for no banana in my tailpipe.
PFW in Progress.
Had to go to the bathroom. I was walking by. It looked like a nice, clean place, so I stopped.
All right, and I'm glad you're stopped here because this is PFW in Progress, and it's just me, Paul, and Eric with Gary in the booth, Andy continuing his Tuesdays with Maury.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, his Tuesdays with
Brian Maury?
Yeah.
No, those are Fred's days.
Tuesdays he has off, and Tom is still recovering. We do have an email in from him that I will read shortly. So he's on the mend. But it's just the three of us talking Patriots with the guys.
Minicamp is over, yeah. Fred. Golf tournament over.
Yep, so we need to go over
that
all
means
the...
We're in, we've hit the true...
We've hit the skids. Yep.
The true dog days of...
Right,
but
we need to go over the mini camp, all the events since Thursday. Robert Kraft had his big party with Elton John Sunday night that all the players were at. Sunday they had the golf tournament. I was there.
Freddie was there.
How was it?
Freddy's it was great. It was. I have to say, it's unbelievable.
Elton, good.
He sounded great.
Yeah,
he really did.
Now let me ask you this, Fred: what was the scene like? Because a lot of the Patriots players were able to get to game two, and I know all the players and coaches were invited to the party. So was it kind of surreal, just people like bolting to the exits because they all got there?
Well, yeah, some did.
I mean,
you know,
players, I should say.
Kinda,
I mean, Belichick and those, I mean, yeah, I'm sure they all stayed at the party.
They kind of trickled out. You know, there was, in fact, I was sitting behind one of the booths where a lot of the players were sitting, and I guess after like the first six songs, guys started leaving.
It was probably like the Indy 500 around like 8:30. Meow.
Yeah. But a lot of guys, I mean, stayed the whole night. And I mean the whole night.
They didn't have tickets to the Celts.
No, they were they were doing it up.
Oh, really? They enjoyed the evening, as you as you might say.
Oh, yeah.
And they were able to make it to the golf tournament yesterday morning.
Yeah, pretty much everybody was there.
But before all that, and probably of more interest to our listeners, the mini camp took place Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday and Saturday, regular 2-hour practices. No pads or anything like that, but full squad. The Sunday that Eric was here for an abbreviated walkthrough, more or less.
Not even helmets.
Not even helmets.
It was hot.
And we should point out, Fred, as you know, on Friday we had some rain, so they were inside in the field house.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday and Sunday, really, really, the heat moved into the New England area very quickly. Mid-90s temperatures, a lot of humidity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure exactly what Bill Belichick loved to see. You know, just one good push to get that conditioning level to where he wanted it.
Today, even today, on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, it's remained.
It's going to be reaching 100 in some areas.
And, Fred, I went to turn my AC on at home. I have central air on Saturday.
Of course you have central air, but anyway.
But
I have central air now. I've had it for at least 4 days.
It didn't work. New unit, just put in 2 years ago, and it doesn't work.
So what did you do to keep cool?
I had one of those big floor fans that I had I put that in my bedroom, and, you know.
That's just miserable.
That's all. That's all miserable. I could do.
Wow. Nothing worse than being hot in Providence.
It's still broken.
anyway, I'm going to set the over-under at 12:37, by the way. I won't say what the over-under is for, but that's my over-under.
I'm going with the under, Paul.
Anyway, as a newcomer to Central Air, Fred.
You like it?
I'm a big fan.
How can you not?
I'm a big fan. It just...
Good stuff.
It's everything I thought it would be, Fred, especially in this heat wave that we're experiencing.
Someday I'll get that. Anyway...
You don't have Central Air?
No.
There's some interesting...
Really?
I don't have Central Air.
That mansion you live in, right down the street, there's no Central Air?
Mansion.
You're putting the things in the windows still?
For Eric and I, that's a mansion.
One of your paintings is bigger than my house.
It's also more expensive.
Right. That's true. Now, getting back to the minicamp, Paul, anybody stick out? I know it was pretty much full attendance, about 72-3 people.
Yeah, there were nine players missing from Friday's workout, mm-hmm. all of which had some sort of known injury or dealing with a rehab of some sort that we know of. And then on Saturday, the same nine guys were missing. In addition to that, David Thomas, who we know was coming off some foot problems, didn't work out on the field. But Belichick stressed that everybody was here and accounted for.
What did we know about Welker? Because he was one of the ones that was missing.
I know things.
Something?
Yeah.
Okay. He was there on Sunday.
Very minor.
Right. And he was there on Sunday, which was that abbreviated thing that we talked about, which was even less than a normal practice.
Oh, my arm!
But more so than anyone sticking out to me, because I really didn't have – I mean, I really didn't see any individuals that I thought really stuck out more so than anything else. But some of the things they were working on Saturday, Fred, they worked a lot offensively on screens. And that was kind of interesting to me, and a lot of different kinds of screens, with the traditional kind with Maroney slipping out of the backfield, Morris, Kevin Faulk doing some of those things, but also – involving the wide receivers, Chad Jackson in particular, and Andy and I talked about this a little bit. I think maybe it makes a lot of sense. You have an athlete like that who's probably going to do some nice stuff with the football in his hands, maybe an effort to get the ball to him right away, some easy catches to, so he's not lingering, saying, 3-4 weeks into the season, with three or four catches, wondering when am I going to get a chance to make an impact on the offense. That might give him an opportunity to do it really, really quickly. So I thought that made a lot of sense, and I was interested in watching some of that. Now, I could be all wrong. It just looked to me like they maybe were tinkering with some of the execution elements and I saw Dante really working with the offensive linemen in preparation for when the teamwork began in doing that, the timing of getting out and making the block. So that some of that stuff to me I felt like was interesting. Hard to read how effective they were doing it because, like Bill always says, it's teaching right now, and right. You're not hitting anybody. There's no evaluation.
There were no pads on, and as you said, Eric, even on Sunday, they didn't even have helmets.
They didn't have helmets,
on.
No. But there were two things that stood out to me over the course of the mini camp, and we talked a little bit about it during our podcast on Friday, was one. And you mentioned it a little bit, Paul. Chad Jackson was getting a lot of attention, both from the quarterbacks. He was getting a lot of passes thrown his way, and also from his position coach and from Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator. So it looks like they're giving him every opportunity to do what we've thought he was, drafted to do, which was become the number one or two guy. I mean, he won't be number one as long as Moss is here, but at least to be the number two guy this year.
And I agree with Derek on that. I think they're going to give him every opportunity to win a role, and I think it's kind of one of those make-or-break kind of years. Year three, that's a big year when you haven't done anything yet. I think there's some pressure there, but I agree with Eric. I think the coaches are really putting a lot on Chad Jackson right now.
And he looks good right now. He looks healthy. He's catching the ball well from what we've seen. The other thing I noticed was Matt Gutierrez looks like he – is ready to challenge for the number two spot.
Here's where I removed
my... This is where you part company?
Yeah, I removed the rope from the dock here on Eric's boat. And I think that he throws the ball as impressively as any of the quarterbacks. Matter of fact, when you watch the drills, here's where I will agree with Eric. I think that he might throw the best ball out of all four. That counts Brady.
Yeah.
In terms of velocity and all that. But I just haven't seen... again, they're not really doing anything that can be evaluated per se in the team periods, but I haven't seen him look any better or differently really than I saw last year or any other time during training.
So, Eric, what are you basing your analysis on?
Well, he likes Gutierrez.
Well, I like no, I mean
because he's bald.
Well, no, that has nothing to do with it. No, I actually
did. He wink at you?
No, he did not.
Are you going to tell the truth?
Yeah, of course I'll tell the truth.
All right, because I don't know. Maybe he, you know.
No. I disagree with Paul on that. From what I've seen this year as opposed to last year, I think he has made progress. I think he's more confident. He obviously knows the system a little bit better. Like Paul said, he throws probably the best ball of the four quarterbacks that are in camp. But I just think, just from those intangibles, what little we've seen so far, I think he's made enough progress to legitimately have a shot at trying to compete for that number two spot. Everyone's assuming that, you know, with four quarterbacks, there's going to be one odd man out, and a lot of people are already saying it's going to be Castle, but, you know, because they drafted this other kid in the third round, O'Connell. But, you know, Belichick has kept four quarterbacks before, namely the year they drafted that kid Tom Brady.
Yeah, he will not do it this year. However,
probably not because of the roster limits and all that.
That's the big difference.
But if they, I mean, if that's the case, there's got to be an odd man out. It's not going to be Brady.
You
think?
And it's not going to be the kid they just drafted in the third round. So it's got to be one of these other two. I think Gutierrez has a legitimate shot.
There's no doubt that Gutierrez has a shot to be the number two quarterback. That I don't disagree whatsoever. I'm just saying, based on what I've seen so far, I haven't seen any reason
there's
why.
There's still a big gap between the Patriots
number two. There's a lot to prove still. I think
that Castle has thrown the ball very effectively. I think he's looked good in team drills. I thought he ran a great two-minute drill on Saturday, although he did get away with a very bad decision early in that drill when his receiver knocked the ball away from Mike Richardson, which should have been an interception. But after that, he made probably the best throw I saw in the 2 days that I was at camp on a pass down the seam to Marcus Pollard. I've seen that in the past from Castle. I've seen him look good in practice. I've seen him look good in drills. I've seen him look good on the practice field in training camp. I haven't seen him look good really in an NFL game, you know, and I haven't really seen him look great in preseason games either. I've seen him look okay, but mostly when he's running around.
When he's running around. Yeah.
So I haven't really seen him do it consistently enough, and that's why I think I want to kind of put the brakes on how great, you know, Gutierrez has looked in some of the drills and whatnot. But I don't think that they look bad either. I don't want to make it sound like I'm trashing the guys.
It's very hard to judge the defense, obviously, because defense is about hitting, and they can't do that. So focusing on the offense a little bit more, Moss, how do you look?
Ridiculously
man
mid-season, mid-season form. I mean, he looks exactly like he did the last, you know,
right.
Catching four touchdowns against the Buffalo Bills on a Sunday night. That's how good he looked.
He looks just lazy trying to go and extend his arms to catch the ball, but it's amazing.
It's perfectly timed.
It is,
There's no wasted effort.
No, there isn't.
They had a play, Fred. You know when they do the two-minute drills and the defense sometimes stops them and they end up like around the 40 or 50-yard line, but, you know, Bill follows through with the situation and says, okay, there's 2 seconds left. You're on the 43-yard line. So you just got to throw one up, right? Well, they throw one up to him. He's completely blanketed by Brandon Merriweather. I think Spann might have been over there, a couple of other guys. This was Saturday. And he just went up and made a ridiculously tough catch look easy. And then, you know, it's like every drill, when they do it, it means something. You know, that's the one thing I'm really struck is by the professionalism of the team at minicamp, you know, and how all these things kind of matter. At one point,
took you 8 years, but that's good.
No. I'm talking with the players.
Oh, okay.
This is the second minicamp.
I knew you weren't going to avoid that one.
This is the second minicamp for Randy Moss.
Okay.
But that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. They were doing a drill before they got together. You know, it's just the receivers and I don't think he liked the way it was going. I'm not going to quote him because I didn't misinterpret the way the rule is written for us to, in terms of reporting. It says you should not comment on, quotes that you didn't, should not quote the players during the practice. To me, that says I should never really.
Or the coaches.
Yeah. But that to me, I read that as I should never really quote a coach based on what he says at practice, not just during the practice. But
except
for
an interview.
I didn't misinterpret that, so I want to make sure I don't quote Randy Moss, but he didn't like the way things were going.
Right.
And he let the other receivers know about it. He brought them all together, and it was good. It was a sign, you know, definite sign of leadership.
I mean, who are you going to listen to if you're a young guy other than, you know, and you're right about your assessment of Randy Moss. We had the ability to actually wire up a couple of the huddles last year for use in the museum that we're building, and I'll tell you, other than Brady, the most talkative guy in that huddle is Randy Moss.
That doesn't surprise me.
And he's talking about, okay, Tom, I'm going to do this, look for this, talking to other receivers, you know, your guy's doing this, go do, you know, and he's telling other people and asking questions, and he's very involved. You know, a lot of times you look at those wide receivers, exactly, and they kind of jump out of the huddle early, and they're already in their position when the other guys are breaking, and all they care about is their own route, and that's it. But Moss is involved in the game. He's looking at what the other defenses are doing. He's looking at the matchups, and he's talking with Brady. You know, you'll hear him when you go to the museum a lot saying, Tommy, you got to look at, you know, and he's really involved. He's a very cerebral player.
That might be the thing that kind of struck me the most last year was I knew that he was probably somewhat misunderstood in terms of the effort and all that stuff. But I didn't realize what a student of the game he is and how precise a route runner is. And you know, and some of that I saw for myself, like you're talking about on the field at camp and stuff like that. But some of that, just in listening to how he interacted with Brady in particular,
right,
and then watching and listening to Bill talk about how hard he works in terms of getting his assignments down and knowing where he's supposed to be. Sometimes you just think of those wide receivers, and you started to say it, Fred, when they leave the huddle, you just kind of think, well, they're kind of out on their own. They're such great athletes. They
right,
just go out there, they get open, and they hope the quarterback gets them the ball. Well, it doesn't work like that. And Moss shows you that you need to not only have all that God-given ability, but you have to apply it as well.
Well, especially in an offense like New England's where there's so much checking with the quarterback, there's so much you have to be on the same page.
Yeah, we talked about it on the podcast. Brady won't throw it to you.
Right.
If you're not where you're supposed to be, yeah, he doesn't care if you're Randy Moss.
If
he's not going to throw it to you.
If you're 2 yards off the spot where you're supposed to be, you're not going to get the ball. You know? If you're a foot off, you have to be exactly where you need to be.
Right.
Or he's not going to have that confidence in you.
And Fred, you mentioned that it's kind of hard to sort of evaluate the defense at those camps, and I agree with you. But one guy that I did kind of watch a little bit was Tank Williams. And I think he's a guy.
Getting a lot of press.
Yeah, well, he's getting press because he's doing some different things, but I think he's a guy to kind of keep an eye on. I think Bill is trying to figure out what he can do with this guy. And we always say that, geez, you know, fill in the blank, I'd love to see Bill work with that guy. And he's, you know, he's listed at 222 or 223, something like that. I saw that Mike Reese wrote that he's probably closer to 230 in the 230s somewhere. And I know that Mike talked to Bill a little bit on Saturday off to the side. So I'm guessing that maybe that was the topic that he was talking about, and maybe Bill told him that. So I kind of put some validity in that. He's using Tank Williams right now in about any role that you could possibly use a defender in the back seven. I mean, he's been at safety. He's been in the slot. He's been at linebacker. He's been inside linebacker in base defenses. I think that he's in that Rodney Harrison type mold where he's comfortable at or around the line of scrimmage. He's comfortable back in coverage. He made what I thought was the play of the absolute weekend, covering Kevin Falk on a wheel route out of the backfield on a goal line play in a red zone drill, had him stride for stride. The ball was a little bit underthrown from Brady. He went up, picked it off. Defense went crazy. That was probably the high point of the Saturday practice. But I don't know if he can play linebacker. He would seem to me to be too small to play inside linebacker on any kind of consistent basis. But in spots, you know,
well,
a part-time basis here and there,
you know,
as a hybrid kind of player, I think Bill's going to find ways to use him.
I think Bill's an innovator.
Yes.
And I think he sees the way this league is going. And when it's third and long, you know, why not, you know, make another defensive
backfield guy,
linebacker, and why not have it be a guy that's on the field and spent, had experience doing this stuff, you know, on several
but
teams,
I think
like a Tank Williams.
Right. I think what Paul is saying is this may happen on
first
other
down
first
yeah.
or second
I mean,
down.
Clearly
too.
On third and long,
well,
you have six defensive backs on the field. Some of them are linebackers.
Yeah.
Because the linebackers come out and the extra defensive backs go in. Rodney plays linebacker in sub packages all the time.
Right.
And I think Tank Williams would be that kind of a player as well.
I'd worry on first down, though, because, you know, other teams aren't dumb. And you worry about the guy his size being able to hold up.
On a full-time basis, I would agree. I don't think he's big enough. I mean, even if he's 230, I don't, you know, that's a small guy who's not played linebacker. It's one thing if you're, you know, Teddy Bruschi and you played linebacker for 8 years and you're maybe a little bit smaller than some of the other guys, you know, earlier in his career.
Right.
Now Bruschi's, you know, sort of developed over the years. But I don't see how a guy who's played secondary all his career is going to suddenly just step in and play 3-4 inside linebacker,
you know, it's
on a consistent basis.
You know, shedding a fullback, shedding, you know,
yeah,
guys that have
guards.
You know, yeah. I don't know. Anyway, so that's interesting. Now, Gary, have you fixed your mic yet? Is your mic?
So the producer to talent microphone is still down?
I don't know what the hell. I think this wedding is getting to him.
He's uptight.
The mic's still not working. It's about 100 degrees in here. There's no air conditioning.
I'm blaming that on Gary,
too. Then yesterday, I promised fans that we'd go to the golf tournament and have live, you know, interviews with the players. Who do we get? Scott Zolak. That's it.
Zolak?
So, I mean, I don't know.
Have some good stories?
I mean, what's going on in there, Gary? You know, I know your wedding is Saturday. Is it Saturday?
It is Saturday.
I know your wedding is Saturday, but, you know, you got a job to do here.
I'm a little stunned he's here. You're not going to be here Thursday, are you? Now he shakes his head in disgust.
And then I assume you're going on a honeymoon right afterwards?
What's that?
The Friday before mine, I think.
He's going away. He's going away till July after his wedding.
Life is good. We got more of June out of him than we normally do then.
Life is good. You know,
Andy's not here. Do you not know? I have a role to fill.
We can't get any air conditioning in here, but he's going away for 3 weeks.
There are no fans anywhere here?
Yeah, the golf tournament was interesting yesterday, Fred. There were
from South Carolina left over.
There were a lot of stragglers, shall we say, at the golf tournament yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'll definitely win the long ball drive today.
That was
you
hot.
Should have seen the focus and determination on his face.
Harrison,
by the way. Oh yeah, he took that long drive contest.
Who won it? Did he win?
Oh yeah,
his third time. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He was walking by. He was warming up to our right, and the competition was taking place a little bit to our left. So he had to walk right by Andy and I as we were trying to do a little bit of radio, which we ended up really not getting anything that was great. But I try to take usually Rodney always makes fun of me at the golf tournament by saying he's going to try to, you know, the long drive or whatever. He'll share the Bentley with me.
Right.
So he's walking by, and I said, and here comes Rodney Harrison with that determined look on his face. Evidently, he is going to get Paul Perillo another prize this year.
No.
Didn't break stride. Didn't crack a smile. Just kept going.
No.
And then he got up and hit one like 305 yards in the first round, and then ended up winning it with something like a 287.
Now, what were the prizes this year? Do we know?
All kinds. I mean, the regular stuff. I don't have the book with me to look them all up, but ridiculously
nice prizes.
Extravagant things, as is normally the case.
Well, it was great for the foundation. I know they raised about $500,000 just on that day. So that's
everybody okay? Yeah. I mean, that was a tough day to golf. Let's put it that way. Yeah. I mean, it was perfect conditions, barely a cloud in the sky, bright sunshine, but mid-90s anyway, if not higher. Just making sure that everybody's all right.
All right. Well, let's take a break. Gary, do we have food coming today? Anyone? On the way, he says. All right. So when that comes in, we'll talk about it. Also, I want to read Tom Casale's email that he sent before the show, and we'll do that right after this.
The New England Revolution are taking on the best teams and the best players in MLS, and you can be there. The Revolution 4-game supporters pack is the ticket to the best matches of the summer. Be there when the Revolution take on Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, Juan Pablo Angel and the New York Red Bulls, Ante Razov and Chivas USA, and David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. It sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order the 4-game supporters pack to guarantee you're in the building for the best matches of the season. 4-packs start at just $64. Order now and get a Revolution supporter scarf free. Ticket packages and individual game tickets for the entire season are still available. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS. Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222. Or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst! Are you kidding me?
Revolution.
Hi, Rebs fans. Tropical Tom here from TNTVacations.com. As the official travel provider of the New England Revolution, we're offering all Rebs fans special discounts on trips to Mexico, the Caribbean, Bermuda, and even Costa Rica. With TNT, you get the lowest prices, plus the kind of personalized service you just don't get from those out-of-state discount websites. So join the travel revolution and visit TNTVacations.com/Rebs.
TNT Vacations.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sackatack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Maryland Hot Sack Attack Sausages, Patriots Cheese Brats and Beer Brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Dumoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
New message, Wednesday, May 28th, 11:54 a.m.
Hey, Gare, it's Rob, man. How you doing? So, listen, I saw that video online of, the virtual tour of the hall. How come I'm not voicing that? Like, what's the deal? You know, it's like, I'm good enough to voice, the Patriots Football Weekly, but not that. And who's doing it, man? It sounds like the biggest computer geek. Come on, man. Give me a call. Thanks. Bye.
The Hall at Patriot Place will offer New England Patriots fans one of the most dynamic sports museums in the country, as well as the home to the Patriots Hall of Fame. It's scheduled to open in the fall of 2008 as part of the Patriot Place development at Gillette Stadium. For more information on the Hall at Patriot Place and the ongoing Patriot Place development, visit patriot-place.com and sign up to receive regular emailed updates on its progress, along with a chance to win a $10,000 shopping spree.
All right, as you could tell, that was the dulcet tones of Eric Scalavino.
You can remove the set part.
In Eric's defense, what? I came to you at 4:30 one afternoon and said, we got to get this up.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
We were in a pinch.
Yeah. So otherwise, we probably would have used somebody like a Rob Schuler or a Soupy Sales or somebody like that.
Soupy Sales. Didn't realize that was still up and about on the internet, though, Fred, after all this time.
It's probably buried somewhere on our site.
Oh, wow.
Our site's very deep.
So the voice guy went and found it and was upset?
Yeah, probably.
Wow.
All right, webradio at patriots.com.
So when did you do that?
Oh,
that was like a year ago. Over a year ago.
Yeah. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Was there anything I was going to say before I read Tom's email? I don't think so.
I don't know.
No.
About Tom?
So we kind of wrapped up the minicamp.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Crafts had their 45th wedding anniversary, and they had Elton John playing on the 50-yard line Sunday night, which was amazing. Yeah. Started out with Funeral for a Friend, Love Lies Bleeding, played Rocket Man mm-hmm. and Saturday Night and, all the – it was just one, greatest hit after another.
I'm Still Standing.
Oh, yeah. In fact,
terrible song.
Before he did that song, he did a tribute to the Patriots and his friendship with the Crafts, and while he was playing I'm Still Standing, they showed the video of the Patriots.
Uh-huh.
So I'm thinking that would be a good theme for the Patriots. You change to I'm Still Standing to We're Still Standing.
Mm-hmm.
They can take shots at us, but we're still standing.
Mm-hmm.
Paul's disgusted.
Paul just doesn't like the
no
song.
No interest in it or whatever.
I'm not the biggest Elton John fan there is, no.
Well, you got to admit his greatness.
Your song is one of my favorite songs ever, even though I don't really like Elton John all that much. But the other ones...
Daniel? You don't like Daniel?
Yeah. Rocket Man's a good song.
Goodbye Yellow Brick Road?
That's okay.
The first album I ever owned was
I'm Still Standing is one of the worst songs of the 80s. Easy. Has to be one of the five worst songs.
There were a lot
the
of them back then. A lot of bad ones.
Anyway, so that was amazing. The players were there.
Thanks, G.
Donald Trump was there. The Commissioner Goodell was there. And Tagliabue.
Really?
Yeah. I felt like going up to giving him peace of my mind.
Goodell was there, huh?
Yeah, I was going to really going to give him the business.
You were going to give him the business?
Oh, yeah. I was going to give him the business.
But
Michael Strahan
decided against it.
Retires.
Yeah, Michael
officially.
Strahan retired.
We all kind of.
Yeah,
that's what Fred was going to do to the commissioner.
Oh, worse than that.
Roger.
All right, so that was interesting, and then they had the golf tournament, so that kind of wrapped up the weekend's events.
Yeah, normally the golf tournament precedes mini camp and all of that hype. In years past, we've had
it's
always after.
Not
true. The last thing that they do.
You get your ring on Sunday, and then the golf tournament's on Monday.
Last year was. Fred's right. I know you were making a joke, but it's been Friday, Saturday minicamp, Sunday ring ceremony, Monday golf tournament. Right.
Last year it was the opposite, though.
Well, they had no ring ceremony.
Oh, that's true.
But generally, that is the order. It's mini camp and then the golf tournament. I'm not saying it's like that every single year, but Fred's right. That's generally how they've done it.
All right, webradio at patriots.com. Tom writes in. He says, how's it going? I'm starting to do better, and I can't wait to get back to work. I know none of you guys really like me, especially Paul, but you are like family to me. I would once again like to thank everyone for all their kind words. It really means a lot. Now to the point of my email. I am blown away by that new PFW in Progress website. It's just been created, and they are getting a lot of people visiting the site. I just found out that they have their own forums. Right now, there are two pages devoted to listeners talking about Eric and three pages talking about PFW merchandise. People want the bobbleheads, Fred. Fred, you know I have great respect for you. I always tell everyone how innovative my boss has been over the years, but this new website proves what I have suspected for some time. You are losing your edge, buddy. There is a lot of money to be made off the PFW brand. For some reason, you don't want to believe this. This isn't the same little show you started years ago. We're big time, baby. You need to strike while the iron is hot. We have a huge following now, and the old Fred would have found a way to cash in on all the success. I know you're close to calling it a career, but before you throw in the towel, I implore you to take the PFW brand to the next level. I have to thank James for making the website. I never knew how popular we were, except for Andy. You would think a guy that's worked there all this time wouldn't be fending off Eric for last place in the vote for most popular PFW member. Could Paul have been right this whole time? Am I really the only person who thinks Andy is funny? What an embarrassing performance from the human enema. But Fred, it's time to make a move. Go to the crafts and tell them we are the biggest thing since the invention of the remote control. Get off your knees, Fred. You're blowing PFW in Progress. Wow.
Taking you to task.
Yeah. Huh?
Yes.
This can be heard in Spanish by selecting the
See you all soon, Paul. Take care. Tom from Vegas. I mean, Foxborough. So there you go.
Not happy with you, Fred.
No. You're going to let that fly?
I think.
Is he peeing his Cheerios or something?
I think the way this is working is the perfect way. It's starting from the bottom up. We're not forcing anything on the fans. This is a fan movement, and I want to keep it that
grassroots
way.
Effort?
Yeah, I want to keep it a fan movement. Let the fans take us where they will.
And okay? James
we're
James
not going to force
doing,
anything on them.
You know, as we said last week, too, we really appreciate the work that James is doing because that's – I think it's a terrific website, and I think he's done a great job with it, and we really appreciate all the hard work that he's doing. And I think it's working.
Into,
yeah, but he's working out those kinks. I don't think
I wonder
we have
what,
to worry about
somebody
that.
Hacked
somebody
into
hacked
it?
I think it's strippers.
Now, he wants all of us to send in bios, by the way, so he can update it on the page. So I'm sure Tom has already sent them his.
Oh, yeah.
So why don't
we? We're pretty sure Tom is responsible for all his votes.
And all the other content in general.
Are we sure Tom isn't James in England?
He could be. But I don't know who hacked into the site, but
you know why is it
the only one of our listeners that I can imagine would be strippers?
Let me stop you.
What did they do though?
I don't know. I don't know
when they hacked into it.
I need an aside, a Bill Simmons like aside. Why is it that every time a defensive lineman in the NFL retires, all they show him is sacking Drew Bledsoe, no matter who it is?
Well, there's a lot of that footage.
Doesn't matter who it is.
That footage is everywhere.
Well, it's like when they show a defensive back making an interception. It's usually David Carr.
That's different. I mean, this is just like unbelievable. Every time they show a quarterback getting sacked by a defensive lineman, it's Bledsoe,
and he's not even in his conference.
You know,
it's not like he plays him twice a year.
No, he was.
He was in the Cowboys.
It was Cowboys getting
sacked by
the Giants.
I thought you were talking about Strahan.
Yeah,
we were.
The Cowboys getting sacked by the Giants.
When Bledsoe was with the Cowboys, he was getting sacked twice a year.
It was Cowboys footage.
Yeah, yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. But anyway, that was just the one of those mindless tangents. But I do, again, James, tremendous work with the site, and we really appreciate it here. And keep it up.
Is that his job, James?
Yeah. To get a fan site for us?
No,
yeah.
No. I mean...
Well, it says James Cuff Media.
I think he's some sort of web designer.
Okay, so that's part of his... It's not just like a hobby. He does this for a living.
Supposedly.
Oh, no. I mean, I don't think you could just do... That's a pretty good website if he's just doing it as a hobby.
You could check him out on DaveDudek.com. All right. So that's Tom checking in. So sounds like he's doing better. So...
Yeah, if he's got that much venom to spew, he must be.
We'll see him next.
Better.
I guess he's taking the
whole
week.
He's all over you, Fred. I'll tell you.
I know.
He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand. He thinks he can just, create these bobbleheads and people will buy them. I think maybe a couple hundred people will, but I don't, beyond that, I don't think we have that type of appeal yet. But I'm willing to see what this ride takes us.
Well, the first step we got to get is some, we've already been solicited. We have to get the sponsorship for this show.
Right. And we got to get the t-shirts.
And that's where the money starts. And then we start in with the merchandising and we go from there.
We will have
t-shirts. Sky's the limit.
We're going to make t-shirts, right?
Well, yeah.
I thought Maura has the design done.
Have you signed off on that yet?
You can't even do the caricatures and you're criticizing her?
Caricature's done.
I haven't seen them.
Yes, you have.
I saw the first generation of them 2 months ago.
I say we just go with the logo because that way when Tom goes to Vegas and Eric decides to have his midlife crisis any day now.
So what are we waiting for?
We don't have to worry about it. Hey, guy.
What are we waiting for?
More.
Well, you are the boss, Fred. You need to sign off on it.
Gary says for the bobbleheads, it'd be one per box for Andy's. It wouldn't be cost efficient.
That's a good point. That's a good point right there. Can you imagine how big would it have to be to be able to stand up if you actually had a bobblehead of Andy?
Right.
Which a bobblehead already the head is overly large.
You'd have to make the base out of lead.
Right. You'd have to be bottom heavy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you could even get one to stand up.
Right.
The head would have to be like styrofoam.
That bobble that could hurt small children when that thing starts moving around. Yeah. Right.
So. Wouldn't be environmentally sound to have something plastic that was that big.
Right.
Probably not.
It's leaving a large carbon footprint. Let's see, Eric's best friend, or I don't know if he's friend or what you want to call him, but he keeps calling in.
Is this Eric's girlfriend?
And, this is Kamani. He wants to know, did you tell Eric that you weren't using his cartoons for the t-shirt? Well, we did. We're not going to use your cartoons.
That's fine, I don't care.
Yes, you do.
No, he's going to go home and cry.
I don't. That's fine.
And he wants to know, have you been in contact with the people from Egypt who wanted to buy some art?
Can't you just ask him these questions when he gets home?
I want to know why you can't just say yes or no, Eric. Why do you have to, just say yes or no? What's the answer?
Yes.
Okay. Now he's chewing gum on the radio. That's probably not a good idea.
Have you seen your girlfriend? It's been 14 days, and what kind of relationship is that?
Don't worry about that. We're not going into that territory.
So I'm not talking about that
with you guys. No.
No more.
No.
Why not?
I said too much the first time I came back.
Like I said with the whole bobblehead and I don't want to pat ourselves in the back and force things on people, but I do think one of the things that people like about this show is that it's an open book. We're very open and honest. And once we start holding things back, I think it's going to take a lot away from the show.
That's very nice. That's very nice.
He's right, though.
I'm serious.
I mean, think about the stupid things that we've disclosed about.
How many people admit that they shave their back?
Tom's talked about, crapping.
Oh, I know what he's talking about. Oh, I know.
Right. Crapping a Skittle a couple weeks ago.
I mean, a lot of people.
Andy, forget about it. He talks about, being on his couch and then having to go and wash his
undies. A lot of people in Tom's predicament wouldn't tell people that he had a little cancer. They wouldn't want to open that up.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you should feel bashful or intimidated or fearful about talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
This is a wonderful thing. You should embrace it. This is the next step in your life.
About time you're participating in there.
And I think our fans want to share this with you. Our listeners want to share in your joy. Just like Gary's inviting us to his wedding, we're sharing that moment.
I wouldn't
with him.
Say us, Fred.
Yeah, he's
if
not.
If you're including everybody in this room,
you
it's only the people he likes.
Everything you're invited.
No,
I didn't know that.
he also did that to Lori. He goes, "I got a couple of notes coming in. You want to go?"
Who was Lori, by the way? Who was the second former cheerleader? She was ranked second on the list of former cheerleaders.
She couldn't even top the list of former Patriots cheerleaders
to be invited.
Because there is a former Patriot cheerleader invited to the wedding.
I mean, up to recently, you probably
wasn't even second.
I mean, up to recently, you have given Gary kind of the cold shoulder. You know, you're the help and I'm the talent. And
well, you know, and Gary,
I have?
Yeah. Gary being a normal person, doesn't have anywhere near the intellect required to converse consistently with Eric.
That's ridiculous.
And that's what happens.
We were conversing during the break a few minutes ago. What are you talking about?
No, I'm saying up until recently.
When you were slumming talking about pop culture.
No, I think you've come a long way in your evolution.
Did you take a dump in your bed last
Yes,
night?
Yes, you have.
How so?
I think you've, you know, become more of a, you know, a whole person.
You want to eat my salad?
You know, through this process of working at PFW. I think it's helped you.
I've been dumbed down? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know why you got to go there.
You might want to call it dumbing down. I think now.
I would like to say that you've actually broadened your horizons and learned more by being with regular people and not snobby intellects.
Yeah.
Or shall
you know
I say.
You know that poem.
Pseudo-intellects.
You know that poem.
I forget
who wrote the poem, but it's, you know, about.
Ryan Fowler suspended for violating drug policy. Tennessee linebacker.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Don't know much about Ryan Fowler, I'll be honest.
Never heard a name before.
We're going to talk about T.O. in a minute, too.
Yeah.
You know, the whole idea of being able to walk with kings yet also be with the common man.
Mm-hmm.
Eric never heard that expression. He only knows about the kings.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Well,
I come from North Providence. I know about walking with the
North Providence?
Yeah.
So in light of all that, and in response to Kamani's question.
Did you win the Scrabble game yet?
I did win the Scrabble game, actually.
Oh. Is that causing problems?
There's a little friction there.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a little friction there, Fred.
I think you should reconsider you not wanting her to meet us. I think it would help you.
I think she should be at the
Eric.
At the PFW
party. You actually
party.
Work with these kind of guys. Wow, that's great. I think that would help you.
Yeah. Look at you should see the grin on this guy's
face
right
now. I think
that
he's afraid that the woman would actually be more interested in me. You know, chubby, bald. Two kids, you know, that's
you
a
hit
catch.
The nail on the head,
that's
Paul.
A catch right
you
there.
Hit the nail on the head.
You know, pinkish hue to the skin.
Always want what you can't have, isn't that
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, we'll leave it up to you, Eric.
What do you think?
When you're ready
to
open up, we're here for you.
All right.
What do you think of the Bears releasing Cedric Benson?
I think they should have done it.
Yeah, I think it was
guys a mess. Mm. But I did want to talk about. You mentioned Fowler being suspended for the substance.
Yeah.
T.O. has now opened himself up. I guess he was scheduled for a random test and failed to
response
call back.
Phone, right. Day of phone calls. He didn't
call
respond.
Back. So now he's subject to more testing, right?
Right. He's put in some, which I'd never
it's
really
a
heard
category.
This. Yeah, I've never heard that category. It's a probable cause.
Probable cause.
So he's in, you know, some sort of program, and I would imagine, you know, it's really no different because you would have to fail a test to be in any further trouble anyway.
Right, right.
But
so that's the kind of guy you want to, you know, have put his wing around Pac-Man Jones and really.
Well,
take
I thought
him under
Deion Sanders was putting his wing around Pac-Man Jones.
Oh, for crying out loud!
I thought that was the whole thing. But anyway, I wouldn't have Pac-Man Jones anywhere near my team. But obviously, the teams don't agree with me on that. I'm actually surprised by the Cedric Benson release because it seems nowadays you can't get released, and I'll guarantee you that. This release has nothing at all to do with his off the field stuff. All to do with his on the field lack of productivity.
I was just gonna say
if the guy was rushing for 1,300 yards a year, I'll guarantee you he would still be a Chicago Bear today.
Eric, Josh writes in, don't fall for Fred's little BS pep talk. You can't trust those guys.
Who said that?
Josh.
Arlington. Come on, Josh.
Arlington Josh.
And he also says, we know what the ugly mugs would look like, but how would you dress your bobbleheads in PFW uniforms?
If we had that merchandise, maybe we would.
Well, I don't think we're going to go the bobblehead route. I don't think we're that big yet.
Merchandise, though. Shirts.
Right. Food's here. Do we know who sent it? Gary?
Chris Simonelli.
Chris Simonelli again.
Thank you very much. We're about ready for that 12:45 break.
So I will read his email. This is from Chris Simonelli. He says, it's truly the dog days of summer. Hope Tom's feeling the best. On to minicamp. I read the blog and notes. Any observations on the draft picks? Wheatley, Mayo, Slater. Also, I heard Brady say that the Pats are trying to find ways to evolve as a team and evolve as an offense, and that they realize that a lot of the things they did last year probably won't work this year. Any thoughts? That's Chris Simonelli.
Yeah, the latter part is just normal course of action for all NFL teams, and they understand that when you're successful – at doing things, and teams have an off season to figure that out, they're probably going to find ways to limit the damage to those same things. Now, that doesn't mean that Tom Brady's not going to be trying to get the ball to Randy Moss and Wes Welker, because those things are obviously successful no matter what the defense is going to do for the most part. But, you know, he's talking about subtleties, and he actually made a joke and said, I can't tell you guys because you'll tell the Jets. And he made the joke about it. But I think it's just part of the natural evolution of a team every year. You got to tinker and switch some things around, game plan. You know, some elements of your system need to change, need to go all together, need to be improved upon, some additions, subtractions, and whatnot, and you find that balance.
Oh, and Fred, I think it's worth mentioning, since we're talking about Brady, on Saturday during minicamp, Brady addressed the media for the first time in a while, but he jokingly, and it was obvious, I think it was evident to most people there, that he was joking.
If you were there, there was no possible confusion. He was
absolutely joking.
Absolutely joking.
About his ankle and how it's affecting him now. Which it's not affecting him now, but he was jokingly saying about, oh, yeah, I can't jump or run as fast as I used to. He said
flat out no. Like, he was asked if the ankle had limited him all in the offseason. He started off the whole thing by saying no, and then he said, I still can't run. I still can't jump. I still can't lift very much.
Right. He was kidding.
And all those things that I could never do.
And at least one media source,
the AP,
took him at his word and ran a story saying that, you know, Brady's having ill effects from his ankle. So yesterday at the golf tournament, he addressed that and said, you know, I just want to come out and say again, I was kidding.
Right, utterly ridiculous. So, but now, I don't believe there was anybody from the AP here on Saturday, and I think that what they probably did was they picked it up off a transcript that if you just read it literally, I suppose there could be some room for error. I don't even think if you read the transcript, you would be able to take that as being literal. But they did. And then I guess worse than that, in my opinion, was when they were notified that they had made an error or they were portraying the quotes in a different light than they were meant to be taken. Rather than make a deal out of a rewrite, they just kind of tweaked it a little bit and changed a couple of words. And that was it. You know, I think you had a story out there that was saying something completely opposite of what Brady was saying.
Right.
I think that they should have said, you know, we took these quotes out of context. We apologize for any meaning that we may have misled. The actual context was meant to be blah, blah, blah. They should have done that instead of just tweaking it to take out the part that he says he's still not ready.
I'll tell you, you know, I really fear for journalism in this country. Just today, Fox News, your station, insinuated. I don't know if you saw Obama the night that he wrapped up the delegates.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
he kind of gave his
fist bump to his wife.
Now they're saying that's a terrorist sign. Fox News said that.
Who on Fox News said that?
Is this a fist pump or a terrorist sign? We'll be right back.
Oh, brother, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, that's the kind of journalism that we're subject to here in the United States, and I tell you, it's damaging, and it's not. It's, you know, we as citizens depend on the press. We do. It's a necessary part.
That's utterly ridiculous, by the way.
What? Yeah.
That you know, that you could, some sort of congratulatory or celebratory action among a man and his wife
is
meant to be
a terrorist sign.
A gang symbol or a terrorist sign.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yes. I mean, I know all is fair in love and politics or whatever the saying is, but that's just
And the thing is,
ridiculous.
You just throw it out there and it just gets a life of its own. That's all you need to do these days.
Hi, everybody. This is Butch Stearns.
All right. I don't know where that came from. But anyway, we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
The New England Revolution are taking on the best teams and the best players in MLS, and you can be there. The Revolution 4-Game Supporters Pack is the ticket to the best matches of the summer. Be there when the Revolution take on Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, Juan Pablo Angel and the New York Red Bulls, Ante Razov and Chivas USA, and David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. It sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order the 4-Game Supporters Pack to guarantee you're in the building for the best matches of the season. 4-packs start at just $64. Order now and get a Revolution Supporters scarf free. Ticket packages and individual game tickets for the entire season are still available. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222, or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor T.
Roman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas Tree Shops, Off-Broadway Shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene Restaurant and Bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and the long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
All right, welcome. We're here. It is Saturday, April 26th, and finally, draft day is here. And this, of course, is PFW in Progress's draft extravaganza. We're all here getting ready to do what we do on draft day.
Now, Andy Hart breaks down the NFL draft.
Yeah, the Patriots are sitting there with Ellis, either draft him or trade.
Or Mendenhall.
One. No,
Scouts, Inc. agrees with me. They have Mendenhall as
two.
The third best player available.
The top 10. There's no way he gets past the Jets at this point.
Oh, Mendenhall?
Three.
Ryan and McFadden.
Yeah. Maybe Mendenhall.
Four.
Everybody here thinks the Jets will take Golston.
Rashard Mendenhall available.
Five.
For the record, Scouts, Inc. has Ellis, then Mendenhall, then
Six.
Rivers.
Six.
I gotta think this is a guaranteed trade.
Rashard Mendenhall, best player available.
Seven.
But who do the Cowboys want?
Rashard Mendenhall.
Eight.
What does Cincinnati do here? Rashard Mendenhall?
Nine.
Chris Williams or that Brandon Albert?
I'm going Rashard Mendenhall.
Ten.
Who's Dallas a target?
Rashard Mendenhall.
Yeah. 11.
So you think he's dumb, but he's smart, and he knows who the best back in this draft is. Rashard Mendenhall.
12.
I still think teams are going to kick themselves years down the road for passing on Rashard Mendenhall here.
13.
Well, terrible pick.
Why?
You left the best running back on the board in Rashard Mendenhall.
14.
If they take Rashard Mendenhall, it's a steal of 14.
15.
Start writing the story now in 5 years about looking back how they could have had Rashard Mendenhall.
16.
The news is the Lions got Rashard Mendenhall, hopefully.
17.
Arizona could get Mendenhall.
18.
I just can't believe Rashard Mendenhall is falling like a stone.
19.
Rashard Mendenhall dropping like a stone.
20.
If you're Tampa Bay, do you take Rashard Mendenhall?
Yeah, but if I was any team in the last 15, I would have taken Mendenhall.
21.
Who's on the clock? Tampa? If they don't take Rashard Mendenhall, I'd be disappointed in it.
22.
I mean, Houston trading back up to get Mendenhall.
23.
Now, is this definitely for Mendenhall?
Yeah, why wouldn't it be? Yeah, I got to say it's for Mendenhall. It's got to be.
24.
If you draft Mendenhall, he can be complimentary.
25.
Then you have Mendenhall, who I think can be a franchise back.
26.
Pittsburgh, Mendenhall.
27.
Mendenhall, and I can root for the Steelers with Roethlisberger and Mendenhall.
29.
Lima Swede to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh Steelers select Rashard Mendenhall.
Here goes.
Sorry, but the Patriots became the second-best team in the AFC right then. Mendenhall is ridiculous here.
30.
He's only said that's a terrible pick, the last six picks, until Mendenhall went. Then he collapsed wildly.
Yeah, Eric, and you're supposed to be the gay one.
Who's on the clock? By the way, I lost interest once Mendenhall got drafted.
All right. That's Andy at the draft. Before the break, Paul, you were talking about, the whole Tom Brady thing and, being kind of taken out of context. Stripper sends us, if you Google news search Tom Brady, the third story is Chicago Tribune. This is June 8th. Patriots quarterback Tom Brady says he is slow and can't jump because of lingering effects of an ankle injury late last season. Brady said Saturday his offseason training program has been limited by the fact that he still cannot lift a lot of weight. The 30-year-old Brady injured his ankle against San Diego in the AFC Championship game. So,
yeah, that's the story. That's the AP story that I was talking about.
Right. So that's just ridiculous.
As we said, he came back yesterday at the golf tournament and reiterated how much he was just kidding. He was joking about that yesterday. And if you see him walking around and practicing, he looks fine.
Right. Andrew in the Ukraine says, I thought you guys were exaggerating when you joked about Crable's legs. Seeing the minicamp photos, I almost died laughing. No disrespect, but I've seen bigger legs than Oscar Pistorius. Who's Oscar Pistorius? Pistorius?
Don't know.
No way. There's no way that Eric doesn't know.
I don't know.
Stop it.
Anyway, seriously, Fred, try to keep him away from Bass Pro. He might end up on your plate. That's Crable. Thin legs. Are they still thin, Paul?
They are still thin.
Thin over the weekend?
I don't think he's bulked up at all in the week and a half that he's been a Patriot.
I think that is a detriment as a linebacker, especially when you're at this level, because to me, it takes away the bull rush.
Depends who the player is, Fred, because Lawrence Taylor had notoriously skinny legs.
Oh, did he really?
Too. Yeah.
But he had
maybe not Crable or Moss-esque, but I mean, he had very thin legs.
He was so fast, he would do that spin move around guys. But I think it takes away the ability to really bull rush a guy.
I don't want Roosevelt Colvin on a bull rush. I don't want Sean Crable on a bull rush. Those guys, that's not their game. And I understand your point. I'm not saying that it's good that he has really skinny legs. But until I see a reason on the field that I'm going to be concerned about the size of his legs, I'm not going to be. I'm going to watch the guy play and then say,
okay,
he's not strong enough to play at the NFL level.
Yeah, at this point it's just comical because, you know,
right,
you're a linebacker, you're tall.
I won't make comments. I won't give.
No, but I'm just saying, asking him to do. Let's just say, for argument's sake, he can get his squats up to the highest on the team, and he suddenly turns into have a great
right.
a great. I don't think he's going to be making his living in the NFL as a bull rusher.
No, I don't either.
Mike Vrabel is an outside linebacker who can bull rush you. There aren't that many different kind of guys that you want on the edge to bull rush.
But I think
just speed guys.
I think leg strength is important. I really
you know,
do.
What do you think of the size of Dwight Freeney's legs?
He's well proportioned.
But do you want him bull rushing? He has big legs and he's a strong guy. But I don't want him bull rushing anybody. I want him running around guys.
But I want him
I don't want Sean Merriman and Sean Phillips bull rushing guys.
I want
either.
Him to get to the quarterback any way he can.
Exactly.
And if that's one less thing you have in your repertoire, then, you know, it's one less thing that a tackle has to, you know, worry about.
Did you happen to see that last little scroll that just came over on ESPN about Scott Player, Patriots punter? I think I read it very quickly because it was only up for about half a second when I was looking, but it looked like it said the league has told him he can no longer wear the single bar face mask.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, though. Why is the scroll getting to it now?
Okay, so Gary has found out who Oscar Pistorius is.
He can wear the single bar.
It's not nice.
Let me just ask you, he can wear the single bar mask. But he likes to have it down when
chin.
He punts.
Yeah,
and to do that, you can only have one screw on either side.
Yeah.
Mike Reese wrote about this a lot over the weekend. But it was a thing that they informed him of. I think as far back as the owners' meetings, he needs to have two screws on each side, therefore eliminating the ability for the thing to be adjustable.
Pistorius,
much ado about nothing. In other words,
I just happened to see it. I didn't know what the deal was.
Pistorius is a double amputee who runs with carbon fiber blades attached to his legs. So that's, you know, there you go.
That's not nice.
That's in typical PFW in progress, poor taste.
That's okay.
That's what we like. That's
right.
What we live for.
Russ and Olympia.
Lowering the bar, Fred.
Right. Russ and Olympia, Washington. Let's consider the absence of linebacker Bo Rude from all 3 days of this weekend's minicamp. Based upon the Patriots' recent handling of rookies and cheap free agents over the last 5 seasons, Rude is basically cut, right? I mean, he's a low pick, low investment jag who can't get healthy. We need to lose a player and not re-sign Eric Alexander to be at the roster limit for training camp anyway.
I wouldn't agree with that. First of all, I have no – I mean, he's a sixth-round pick, so the odds of him making the team are pretty small
to begin with
in the first place. But I don't agree with the notion that generally when guys are injured as rookies, that means they're cut. I think there's plenty of guys that have gotten injured as rookies that have stuck around for a whole year, basically as a result of being hurt.
How about Terry Glenn?
Well, I'm not talking about top 10 pick.
No, but
I'm talking about guys like Mike Richardson, who
Oscar Lua
probably wouldn't even be on the team if he didn't get hurt. He probably would have just gotten cut. Tully Bantakane is a rookie. Was PUP for a long, didn't play hardly at all. There's countless examples. Cliff Kingsbury stayed around for a whole year. I don't think he would have. Gene Merchkowski. I mean, there's a lot of guys.
A lot of guys
that I don't think would have been around for multiple years as Patriots if they didn't get injured and got a chance to develop in the program in the offseason and whatnot. And I'm not trying to be a tongue-in-cheek smart guy here in terms of the IR thing that Goodell is probably going to be looking into next. I'm just saying, I'm not talking about that, Fritz. Right. So you don't have to give me the dirty look off air. Those off air looks, they kind of translate to the microphone.
Well, especially when you throw me under the bus.
When you bring it up on the air.
We talked about the website. James writes in, James Cuff. He says, wanted to say thanks for all the kind comments about the show. It's getting lots of traffic.
Thank you,
and
James.
Positive feedback. I love this show and always wanted to see a website for it, so thought I'd go ahead and do it myself. Glad you guys are happy with it. There's a new forum set up on the site that people can go and chat about the latest show, you guys, and whatever people chat about on forums. It's also generating some good ideas on PFW merchandise, and you are welcome to use it to gauge interest and ideas for the show, such as going video, a PF Web-only subscription, etc.
All right over there?
Yep. I've added a weekly vote. Last week's was who is favorite on PFW Progress. The results were Tom with 36%, Fred with 24%, Paul with 17%, Andy with 14%, and Eric with 9%.
Just an utterly embarrassing performance by Andy and I.
Yeah.
You know, falling behind you two schleppers.
Well, but to be fair, Tom has probably voted for himself at least
75 times. Yeah, he's got a lot of free
time,
yep. This week's vote is should
I can't even imagine how many times.
This week's vote is should Eric join John Rook on Patriots Playbook? I'll keep you posted. So they have.
Why do I get the feeling I'm going to win that one?
Maybe not. Maybe people like having you on this show.
Well, that would be nice.
And I think if you opened up more, you'd get more votes. You need to show the human side of you.
I think if you just try to connect to the people, like Andy Hart is a man of the people.
What people?
I don't really know, but he claims to be a man of the people.
Ireland loves him. He's the only guy I know who can insult the whole country, and they still love to laugh with him.
That's true, Fred.
Yeah.
There's not anywhere near the level of hatred for Andy as there should be.
No, there's...
No, not at all.
He should be the most hated man on internet radio.
Mm-hmm.
He really should be.
That's basically... he's a 1 in 5 chance, right?
Yeah.
actually, if you count John Rook, 1 in 6.
Let's see. Bill has a general football question.
Colleen Dominguez?
Yeah. I was asked about a player usually eligible but has to play out of position as an ineligible receiver. For instance, if due to mad injuries, Watson ends up playing right guard, what are his reporting into the ref requirements?
It's a good question. I don't have the answer to it. Do you know, Fred?
I guess I don't know who he sent this question into, but he says, here is my answer. How close was I, or is this so ridiculous that it is a gray area? Although I've never seen it, I think he'd have to report in as an ineligible receiver, but only when checking in or if his status changes. For instance, on play one, the fullback plays right guard, number 44, he'd have to report in. For play two, he plays right guard again, he'd not need to re-report. For play three, he is a fullback. Despite being number 44, he'd have to tell the ref he's eligible again. In play four, he goes back to right guard, and he has to report again.
Oh, my God.
I don't really know because I've never seen it happen, to be honest with you, and I don't want to speculate. I would say that I don't think that you would need to I think you would need to report. If in fact, that you do need to report as an ineligible receiver, I would think you'd have to do that every play. Much like today, they could have 5 plays in a row running with that extra tight end. The tackle is a tight end. He'd have to report all 5 plays.
Oh, yeah, and they do.
They have to do it. And the referee will announce it every single play.
Yep.
Because you can't just assume, okay, Wesley Britt is serving as a tackle on this. I mean, as a tight end on this play with number 65. The defense doesn't just make the assumption every play he's out there. He's eligible.
Now, that begs the question, Paul, and I know that you don't like this, but why is it that in the NFL, certain players, certain positions can have certain numbers and can't have other numbers, whereas in college...
I think that's the reason that they give, is for eligibility and stuff
well,
like that.
I
wonder why the college game hasn't collapsed under mass chaos, given all the differences in the rules, but... You know, I stand alone on that. I
think
guess.
It's allegedly so that the refs have an easier time discerning who's, you know, just at a glance, who's eligible yeah. and who's
well, why
not.
Is that important?
Can you imagine the anarchy that reigned in Knoxville, Tennessee, when Gerard Mayo played his entire college career, well, at least his last year of his college career with the number 7 as a linebacker? I don't know how they even got through it, Fred. I really don't.
You're being sarcastic and a wise guy,
I'd
like to know the real answer.
I'm telling you what the real answer is they want to make it easier for the officials to know who's eligible.
So in college, is it very difficult for the...
That's my point. Much like I don't think it's very difficult to just call a 15-yard pass interference call. They claim that it is.
Is there a penalty in college for a guard being eligible and, I mean, catching a pass and not calling himself eligible, or is it open season?
Oh, no. You have to be.
You
have to be an. You can't just be a guard and be eligible. You can't. You're not an eligible receiver if you're covered on the line. Do you know what
right.
I'm saying?
Right. Okay.
You mean a guard serving as a wide receiver?
Yeah, guard. All of a sudden they pop him out.
Yeah, he has to report.
He has to report. Yeah. Even in college.
Oh, I don't think he does.
Are you sure?
What I mean, they can wear any numbers they want.
Well, that's
I
my
mean,
point.
Seen guys,
I'd like to know this. I don't know the answer.
But I'm telling you, I've seen guys in the 90s. But BYU always has a tight end in the 90s. You know, that's not an eligible number by pro
not,
football
not the
standards.
Pros,
there are no such rules in college.
That's what I mean. So
I don't think it's the position that you're playing that makes you
it's
eligible.
It's where you line up.
Mm. Right. If a guard is lined up at wide receiver as an eligible receiver, he's eligible. And regardless
so
of
it's
what
up
number
to the referee
is.
To discern whether or not he's eligible.
And again, somehow they've been able to play this game for over 100 years and not have, you know,
well, maybe
anarchy.
Maybe strippers can research the origins.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to the original question, by the way, about the pros with an eligible receiver having to report as ineligible. I don't know if you would have to do that or not.
TG and NJ sends us another great PFW moment, and it happened when Paul said to Fred, "Do you listen to anything that gets said on this station that you're not actually saying?" Fred, in response, "What?"
Yeah.
Well, that's like the old joke. Guy goes to the doctor. Nobody listens to me. Doctor says, "What?"
What?
Yeah, that's. Back in February, when the team, this is from TG also. This is his main email. When the team signed Tank Williams, a buddy of mine thought that the Pats might see if Williams could work at linebacker position. I presented the idea to you guys in an email back then. I recall you all pretty much shot the idea down, something to the effect that he's been in the league for 9 years or so and never has played the position, so why start now? If he had the potential, wouldn't he have developed it at some point?
Who are we talking about?
Tank Williams.
Tank Williams.
Well,
I still think it's stupid.
Here's an excerpt from News and Notes on the Pats website. Quote, Tank Williams continues to take significant reps at linebacker, including what seems to be base defense work lining up next to Teddy Bruschi. So now, what do you guys think about Tank Williams playing a little linebacker? Have you seen anything in minicamp that looks encouraging? I'm not trying to bust your balls. I'm surprised my friend called it and seems that he was right.
First of all, you are trying to bust our balls, and you're right to do so because we dismissed it and it's happening. So we were wrong. But don't say that you're not trying to bust our balls, TJ, because that's exactly what you're trying to do.
balls upset.
No. I'm not in the least. But
not bad.
I'm just trying to call you. You are busting our balls. And you're rightly so, because we were 100% wrong. We all dismissed it. I remember exactly what he's talking about. We said the guy's never played there. Why would you do it? And so we were wrong. Because
right.
Bill obviously thinks there's a reason to try it.
Right. And we won't know the answer to, you know, how effective it is until they have pads on. And
well, I'll tell you right now, I agree with what Fred said at the beginning of the show. I line up and I run the ball right at him 10 plays in a row until they take him off the field.
Much like
when they had their innovative big nickel package back in 2002 with three safeties, they found out they couldn't stop the run.
You're talking on first and second down. If he's lining up as a
if
base,
he's lined up in base defense
and
inside linebacker, I have to think the football will find him.
I agree with you there.
That's what I mean at 225 right. or whatever pounds.
Third down's
he is,
a different story. But
no. In some packages, you have defensive backs right. serving as linebackers. That's the normal course of action.
No, I agree with you.
But that's why those sub package defenses are susceptible to runs and draw plays and whatnot, but depending on what the yardage is, it's not conducive to it. But I'm sure you could average 5 yards a carry on third down and long if you wanted to all day. It's just a matter of, you know, how many first downs you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
But they're absolutely right. We laughed it off as being ridiculous at the time.
And so we were ridiculous.
We were wrong.
Let's see, Matt. I guess last show we were talking about mascots, how it's tough to have a mascot.
Well, Andy Hart, the solution to all mascots, you know, Fred, is four-wheeler.
Four-wheeler.
Yeah, you have a four-wheeler.
Just
you
put
can
him
anything.
On a four-wheeler.
You can do anything you want with a mascot. Four-wheeler.
Matt, from he says, I know Andy's not here there today, but I agree about the Pats mascot and have an idea that would require very little budget. Out here at the University of Oregon, they have a whole opening that they do with a movie, and then the duck is driven in on the back of a really loud Harley Davidson, followed by the cheerleaders and such. The guy who drives the bike has it all painted up in University of Oregon colors, and he does it for free. I'm sure if you put the word out, you could find someone with a Pats-themed chopper who would gladly donate his time, or maybe you get him a couple of seats for the home games. It's a pretty cool opening, and the crowd likes it and cheers it every time. It basically shoots through the tunnel really fast, does one lap, lets the duck off, and heads out. Okay. Also, I have a solution for Fred's soap sliver problem. I've been doing this since I was a little kid, and it's a piece of cake. All you do is get the new bar wet, use your thumbnail to score one side of it, then press the sliver flat against it. By the end of one shower, it'll be completely melded. It's how artists sometimes stick two pieces of clay together. I'm surprised Eric didn't know that. Anyway, have a great one and keep up the good work. Elk steaks are coming soon. You didn't know about how to... You're not a sculptor, though, right?
No.
Right. You can't trace that.
Oh.
Good job, Fred.
That hurts,
well done right there. Freddie, Tom checking back in.
Tom from Vegas?
Yeah.
Tom from Vegas. After voting for himself so many times, he deactivated, I guess, the poll. Because now he says when he tried to do it, it says... There's a message that says you already voted in this poll.
Right.
So evidently, you know, 28's the limit, and then it stops you from voting for yourself.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
In all seriousness, he said you can't vote for yourself twice in that poll. Don't get me wrong. I tried. So we can only count him for having one more vote than the rest of us because he actually voted for himself once.
All right.
Okay.
Eric, you voted for yourself, too. Don't lie to me.
I've never voted in that poll.
Oh, I voted for myself.
Did you?
Did you?
Once.
Really?
Yeah. Sure. I wanted to see if it worked.
Why wouldn't it work?
I just want
to see. I just like to hang out at that map.
I was having
you ever call that map up at home? It's a lot better than here.
I know, but I had trouble with the map on IE6, and I emailed James about it, and he was going to look into it.
Yeah, when I clicked on the map at home, I spent 5 minutes there just kind of like moving the mouse around, and there's little avatars come up with little messages from people.
Great.
It's really cool.
It is cool. That's the coolest feature.
That's the part that I've been on, and I love the pictures that he put of like the little headshots that he slaps on the different players.
It's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Mike Gerken writes in.
Gerken.
Last year when the Patriots signed Moss, there was talk of where he stood in terms of being a Hall of Famer. Do you think after last year's performance that he is in the Hall, or does he need another solid year and possibly a Super Bowl ring to get in?
I think he's in now. Those things will only just make it more of a shoe-in.
I disagree. I think he was already in.
Well, that's what
I'm with Eric. I think he's a Hall of Famer. I thought he was a Hall of Famer before he ever caught a pass as a Patriot, and I think that just cemented it. Now I think he's a complete lock. I don't think there's any way they can keep him out. Fred, you all right? Fred's like toweling himself
he's
down.
He's looking like
hot in here.
He's like Jamie Dukes over here.
I'm schwitzing over here.
Oh, hot!
How you doing, big guy?
Wow,
Gary's nice and cool in the production room.
Going to walk around with that towel over your shoulder?
I'm sure it's much cooler in there. Gary's just disgusted with Fred and I today.
It's a tough week for Gary. I mean, he's got a lot on his mind this week.
Any chance he might leave her at the altar? Any chance she might leave you? He's saying yes.
Any chance that it was illegal to marry her in certain states because he's not old enough?
I heard she's old.
She's not old. She's just like a contemporary of Andy.
I never thought she was that old. I always thought she was like 22.
She was at one point.
Well, we all were at one point. Right?
I guess.
Right?
Well, Gary, you started going out with her, what, fourth grade? When? Let's see.
In all seriousness, I had a friend that dated his future wife from, like, the sixth grade on.
What grade was he when he dated her?
No, they weren't.
They're both.
They were like 2 years apart.
My son's going out with this. He's been going off and on with this girl all year.
Big surprise here, though. They got divorced.
So they were broken up, and we had the big lacrosse year-end picnic on Saturday.
Same age?
Seventh grade. And big picnic, barbecue. I spent 4 hours grilling hamburgers in 90-degree heat.
He's just lacrosse, by the way.
I know.
We should just call him, like, N.E. Lax.
Yeah. Right. So anyway, they had the radar gun, and Connor's friend brought the girl, and she stood behind him, and, you know, I guess he had some big number, and so now she wants to go out with him again. And I said to him, what does that say about her? It's all, you know, you shoot a fast lacrosse ball. He's like, I broke up with her. So apparently now they're back together.
Oh.
Wow. So. He's buying cologne at the mall.
That was really interesting.
It's not good.
Is he getting
not good.
He's getting like canoe.
No.
Polo.
Hollister. Whatever. Hollister, I think.
Those are the staples when you're like
Hopkins
junior high.
I don't know.
Sorry, middle school they call it now.
Yeah.
Junior high is showing my age.
So it's not good. Strippers, he got the college rule specifically. Any players on offense wearing numbers between 50 and 79 are always ineligible.
Okay.
All defensive players are eligible receivers, and offensive players who are not wearing an ineligible number are eligible receivers if they meet one of the following three criteria.
It was my understanding that there would be no math.
Player is at either end of the group of players on the line of scrimmage. Player is lined up at least 1 yard behind the line of scrimmage, or player is positioned to receive a hand-to-hand snap from the center.
So it's in obvious formations
that
they don't have to do it. All right.
So I don't really understand. You're ineligible unless you're an eligible position.
Right.
And obviously.
So basically you can wear any uniform number you want.
I guess, yeah.
I got kind of confused on that.
So all the more reason to have the numbers and do it. That's why the pros.
If they don't have the rule in place in college, why do they need it in the pros? That's the only point that I think.
Because they want to give the refs one less thing to think about.
Right. Speed it up a little bit,
right,
maybe.
Exactly.
Less likelihood for an error.
I think it actually slows it down.
Amy,
you have to make the announcement that the guy's eligible.
Amy, she doesn't like this new T-shirt slogan. She says, online and out of bounds. Is that really the new slogan? After all the good slogan ideas people sent in, please say you didn't pick this one. Also, I didn't know Paul was so short. Standing next to Bilo on Patriots today, he looked 5'2". But on a
Bilo is 6'2".
But on a good note for Paul, you look like you lost a lot of weight. Soon the guys won't be able to make fun of you anymore. Well, at least for not being fat, I see you haven't got a wig yet. Can you imagine what Andy would be like if Paul had a wig?
People really think that you were like 360 pounds.
Amy, can I just say, and I know I've taken a lot of shots at you over the last couple of months, and I don't mean it, you know, I'm just joking around and stuff. But I haven't lost an ounce, number one. I probably weigh more right this second than I have at any time in my life. But somehow Andy Hart has convinced the entire PFW in Progress Nation that I used to go 3-plus pills. Because I can't tell you how many people have written in saying that I look like I've lost weight.
Yep.
P.S. There's a whole support Eric thread on the PFW site, and I hope Eric stays. Andy wouldn't be the same without him.
Thanks, Amy. That's hot Amy from England, right?
She's not that hot.
She is,
Paul. Just so you know.
She's hot.
Wow.
She's not. See, this is why she thinks she weighed over 3 pills.
Paul getting catty.
Again, I don't know why you're surprised. That's what I do.
I just deleted a couple of
just because emails. Andy's a loudmouth and he dominates the show when he's here doesn't mean that no one else can make any sarcastic comments.
It's a good point by you.
All right.
Plus, he's unfunny.
I might have just deleted some of these emails. So
that's good.
You can go to the delete box, Fred.
Let's see. Alejandro from Bogota. It was a nice talk about your favorite Patriots games. I was surprised that Andy's favorite wasn't Super Bowl 20.
No, it was probably 42.
Right.
I don't think Andy was alive for Super Bowl 20.
The game I like the most is the 04 opener against the Colts. The atmosphere was great. We were the defending champs.
Terrific game.
Fittingly, the game was decided by a clutch play by who else but PFW's favorite, number 55, Willie McGinnis. That game set the tone for that great football team of 04.
No, Mike Vanderjack missed a field goal in the last play of the game.
That was the deciding factor
of that game.
Now the most disappointed I've ever been after a game was the Monday night against Tennessee back in 02. Patriots were viewed as a fluke and were struggling to claim a playoff spot, but they seemed poised for the stretch run after three consecutive wins against the Vikings, Lions, and Bills. They came to Monday night, and the Titans destroyed their run defense.
That's the one where Brady had the rushing touchdown.
They didn't even want to be on the same field that night.
They got absolutely manhandled in that
game. What was your favorite game? I don't think I was here for that.
Well, I had a lot of them, but I think, you know, non-playoff. One of them was Tunable One.
Yeah, they were trying to come up with non-playoff.
Oh, non-playoff.
Yeah. Well, specifically they said non-Super Bowls, but we just kind of made it non-playoff.
I'll give you one then. The Vikings game here in Foxborough when Drew threw like 70-something pass attempts.
45 for 70.
They were down 20 to 20 points at halftime, and then and they came back and rallied. Kevin Turner caught that pass.
People mentioned that one.
By the way, the most amazing part of that is not that he threw no interceptions, which was pretty amazing in 70 attempts, but did not get sacked once.
Both of those in the same game.
Talk about a great job by the offensive line to keep Drew Bledsoe from getting sacked in 70 pass attempts.
Alejandro finishes up his email with an interesting question. I'm sure it's, you know, very subjective. Who is the face of the Patriots franchise, Bill Belichick or Tom Brady? I think it's a good question.
It's a great question, and I think it's the ultimate barroom debate right now. In modern times, is it Brady or Belichick?
I think it's Belichick.
It's the ultimate,
and you
ultimate
can't have a
sports debate right now. Boston,
so you have
sports
to pick
debate.
One, right?
Yeah, I think
I had to go, I would say Belichick.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, you know, Brady, I think from the average fan, I think it might be Brady. But from the hardcore football fan, I think Belichick is
but
the face.
But what you're asking basically is who's important.
Right. If they don't have
See, that's not my.
Well, then if you're asking who the face is in terms of like recognizable,
then it's Brady.
Then it's Brady in 99%.
Yes. So you think.
To 1%.
Forget about. I'm just talking general football fans. When you think Patriots, you think Brady?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, okay. You're just talking about every. I mean, in terms of the fans, the whatever.
Yeah.
I'm asking the question a little bit differently.
I know
who's more. I'm not talking about MVP.
Who's more important? No. Who's more important to the Patriots' success? Who's more responsible for the Patriots' success over the last day?
Question.
Well, that's the
ultimate bar in debate. The other one to me is as lopsided as it could be. Brady.
Yeah.
Really, the face of the Patriots is Brady.
Of course.
A lot of average fans wouldn't even be able to pick Bill Belichick out of a lineup.
Wow.
That's probably true too.
Okay.
Brady's the one that, you know, in addition to all his greatness on the field, Fred, Brady's the one who's out there in the spotlight with the supermodel girlfriend.
Sure, right.
Traveling.
He's on the tabloids.
Around the globe, in the tabloids. Bill Belichick is a football coach. Right. That's what, I mean, there's no shame in that. He's the ultimate football coach. He's the best football coach who's ever graced the sideline.
An intriguing personality. He's got a lot of mystery
around
him.
I don't think a lot of people think that.
Really?
I think that only real hardcore football fans know that about Bill Belichick. But I think average Joe, you know, jump on the Patriots bandwagon come lately. Bill Belichick is the coach, but Brady's the guy.
Maybe that's changed a little bit in the last year, given what happened.
So the SAT test, Brady, Patriots, fill in the blank, it's Brady.
Yeah, I mean, if you're asking me who the face of the organization is in terms of
in general,
what's the face that you think of when you hear the Patriots,
right.
I got to think it's Brady.
I would agree with that.
Hardcore football fans think like you do about Belichick, but I still think Brady is that guy that they think of. I think the great debate is who's more responsible for the success. And I have to go with Belichick on that.
I'd agree with that, too.
Now, that's a tough one for me because the empirical evidence is there to suggest otherwise. Belichick was a head coach in the National Football League for 7 years. Six years and two games and had absolutely zero success.
Right.
Brady became his quarterback, and he won three Super Bowls.
Right.
That's empirical evidence that's hard to overcome. However, I would overcome it and say Belichick is more responsible.
I agree.
That's just my opinion. I don't have anything to back that up.
I agree with you.
I think they both are lucky to have each other.
That's true, too.
Kamani forgot to mention that Cedric Benson got released by the Bears. Another Bears bust, $14 million in upfront money. Here's a list of the first-round busts the past 10 years or so for Chicago. Rashawn Salaam, Curtis Enos, Cade McCown, David Terrell, and Rex Grossman. There are more, but I don't feel like typing them in.
That's pretty good.
That is
the only one who's had even a modicum of success out of all that group is Rex Grossman.
Rex in the City.
That was one of your movies, right?
Right.
You saw that? You went to see that movie?
No, no, no. But if you didn't see this, the latest issue of Patriots Football Weekly is going to be hitting newsstands as we speak, actually.
Right.
And Fred's edit letter is one of his summer staples that he likes to do. The summer blockbusters are out.
Yeah,
right.
Patriots-related movies and Rex in the football-related movies, football, I should say.
Rex in the City was one of them.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. Random thoughts from Ken. And Ken is from, doesn't say.
Canton.
Is he? Ken?
Just going by a normal. I don't know what the email is, but he writes in all the time. He's a PatsFans.com staple.
Here is his random thoughts. Elton John sucks. saw a picture of Crable on Patriots.com. You guys weren't kidding when you said he's got the skinniest legs of any human being
on
Earth.
I'm guessing this isn't Ken from Canton just by the tone of this email.
Yeah, probably not.
PFWinProgress.com is awesome. Yes. Definitely done by a professional. I'm also professional and pleasantly impressed by it. You guys do need bobbleheads.
That was an Eric-like comment right there. I'm also a professional, and even I'm impressed
right,
by it.
Right, right. Chad Jackson is ripped. Has he been working out with Watson?
He's been ripped since the first day I saw him.
And way early, true false game. You ready? Tom Brady throws for more than 40 TDs this year.
False.
The Patriots win more than 13 games during the regular season. More than.
True.
False.
True.
Because you think they'll win 13.
Maybe, yeah.
Gerard Mayo starts more than 8 games.
True.
I'm going to go true.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Terrence Wheatley gets more than 2 interceptions.
I'm going to say true with that
I'm
also.
Say false. Yes. I'm going to say false. Ellis Hobbs gets burned by receivers in more than 8 games. That's false.
Yeah. I'm going to say true, but that's kind of hard to prove.
Yeah.
All right, so that's Ken. He says that's it for today. I haven't written in a while. So.
What do you think of Roger Clemens' Viagra use?
I mean, the guy, every day it's something different with him.
Well, you know what this is like? It's funny. Do you think he rues the day that he decided to put this defamation lawsuit?
Oh, he has to.
Because you know that Brian McNamee is like, you know, I was listening to Dennis McCallion this morning too, and they were talking about, you know, Brian McNamee is just picking up the phone like once a week and calling the Daily News and just saying, all right. What do I got on him today?
Yeah.
All right. Wait till you get a load of this one.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And it's just like batting practice for him every day. I mean, you want to come at me? Mm-hmm. I think I got a lot more dirt on you than you'll ever have on me.
Owen from Belfast, Ireland writes in, I have a few questions that I need answering, and I need your expert analysis. I was wondering how athletic Victor Hobson looked during the drills you watched. I've read that he is slow.
I didn't notice him looking overly slow, but I didn't notice him standing out athletically either, did you?
No, and it's really, like we said, it's really difficult to assess the defensive guys at this stage because they're not doing the things that they're supposed to do because they don't have pads on.
Right.
And you can tell a lot better how athletic a guy's going to be when he has the ability to fly around and make plays that he's comfortable making.
I like to watch guys to gauge things like that, and I know it's unscientific, but I like to watch the pre-practice drills when they're going through ropes and things like that, and you can see how quick their feet are and some little things like that you can kind of gauge the quickness, the explosion, the quick twitch muscles and things like that. Some guys stand out in those, and I think that they're probably the reason for that is they're probably a little bit better athletes than some of the others. I didn't really notice Hobson overly one way or the other.
Mm. It's a little tough, too.
Did you see him yesterday, by the way?
Yes, talked to him a little bit yesterday.
Did he have gray slacks on?
I know that sounds
like a very Eric-like question, but
no.
Bear with me.
When I talked to him, he had shorts on.
Okay. Slacks? Women wear slacks.
They
men
were definitely,
wear pants.
Well, they were golf. If you saw them, the guy that I was asking about, they were golf pants. They were to be described in no other way, Fred, other than slacks. Okay. They were a pair of pants that you or I never would be caught dead in.
Yeah.
Eric probably would wear them.
Owen also wants to know how Gerard Mayo looked athletically. Does he look like he matches up to his timed speed?
I would say faster than quick, if that makes any sense. I thought once he put his head down and went somewhere, he got there in a hurry. But I don't necessarily think he was real quick off his movements. But there's probably a lot of indecision in his mind with where he's supposed to go right now. But fast, definitely fast.
If Mayo and Brewski were playing alongside each other in the middle, who would be the Sam and who would be the Mike?
That's a good question. At this point, I'd probably say... probably Mayo.
You have no idea. Neither do we.
I have no idea. But isn't it the? I always thought it was the Mike and the Will inside. But I might be making that up. But I don't know. My guess is that they would probably not have Mayo as the mic.
Well, when you have a 4-3, it's Sam, Mike, and Will.
Thanks.
But I think that on a 3-4, it changes. You definitely have a mic.
It does. You have another one.
Right.
Called Jack.
Right, but sometimes...
But he's outside. That's one of the outside
guys.
It's a matter of which one goes inside. Right. I always thought it was the Will was the other inside linebacker with the mic. But I'm not going to pretend to know all that stuff because I don't.
And some teams do it.
You know, if Andy Hart were here, I don't know if you know, but he played linebacker in college.
Yeah.
So he would know.
In practice, he played it.
Yeah.
What type of player is Tank Williams? I've never seen him play. Is he like the Bucky Jones? When was his best year as a player? And if you were to make a prediction now, would he make the 53-man roster?
Tabucky's Tabucky.
Keep up the endless entertainment. Andy, you're an idiot.
If I had to make a prediction right now, would he make it?
I'd say yes. Based on just what we've seen.
I would find it hard to believe that Bill would be investing this amount of time experimenting with him if he didn't have designs on him being a part of the team.
Absolutely.
So based on that, I would say yes, I think he will make the team. I think he's a versatile player and a guy that maybe Bill will try to use in a number of different areas.
And again, you know, lining him up in these situations with no pads and, you know, having him be able to read his assignment, that's one thing. Putting him out there and him getting, you know, having to take on 300-pound guards like we talked about, it's a different story. So we'll have to see in training camp if that translates.
All right. Eric from San Francisco. You've all been pretty open on the show with your critique of Brewski's play over the past couple years, namely that he slowed down quite a bit and seems to get targeted by opposing teams as the soft underbelly of our D. Do you ever get tempted at press conferences to ask Bill direct questions about the decline in Brewski's performance? Do you ever get tempted to raise the issue with Brewski himself? Or is getting into that kind of thing taboo or a sure death knell for the questioner?
I love Teddy Brewski.
It's not taboo. But at the same time, it's going to sound like a really wimpy way of looking at it, but it's not the easiest thing in the world to go up to someone and ask them if they're not playing well. Are you not playing bad? I don't see you making any plays.
Have you slowed down?
You know, it's not, and whether you have a great relationship with a guy or not, it doesn't really matter. It's not really, you kind of let the players talk about their performance on their own. And generally, for the most part, they're pretty honest. I mean, you know, when they assess themselves.
Well, that's the thing. You go up and say, how would you assess your play?
Right.
And let them answer.
Right. But I wouldn't go into a press conference and say that anybody wasn't playing well. I'm not qualified to make that assessment. I would ask someone else how they would assess how a player is. Now, that's not really all that valuable with a coach because I don't think you are going to get the honest assessment from a coach.
No, of course
but
not.
But you get
in
it.
Public.
You'd get it from a player, I think, a little bit more so than a coach. But if you ask Belichick that, Fred, he's not going to say.
No.
We're just not getting enough out of Teddy Bruschi.
No. Right. He's really slowed down.
You know, besides the fact that he is a guy that I'm sure that Bill has a tremendous amount of respect for what he's done. And I think you'd be very reluctant to throw him under the bus in any way.
What do you want me to tell you?
Right. All right. Let's take a break right now. We'll be right back with more of your emails.
The New England Revolution are taking on the best teams and the best players in MLS, and you can be there. The Revolution 4-Game Supporters Pack is the ticket to the best matches of the summer. Be there when the Revolution take on Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, Juan Pablo Angel and the New York Red Bulls, Ante Razov and Chivas USA, and David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. It sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order the 4-Game Supporters Pack to guarantee you're in the building for the best matches of the season. 4-packs start at just $64. Order now and get a Revolution Supporters scarf free. Ticket packages and individual game tickets for the entire season are still available. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222, or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst! Are you kidding me?
Revolution.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday. Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, Off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
Tom's back.
You must have a lot of work. You got an intern now, huh?
Well, Sushil's just be here until Thursday or Friday.
What are you, Sushi? What are you, Iraqi?
By the way, Glenn Miller played.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. No one called today.
I like those great moments in PFW.
I do too.
Good. History.
I like them a lot.
Big fan. It's good,
good
addition.
Yep.
Should make them ringtones.
There you go.
You could download ringtones.
See, Fred, Tom was all over. You're thinking. You're
That's
always
right.
thinking,
and now,
Fred.
Great moments 20 people. In PFW in progress history.
We don't have any catchy jingles. We should probably get some jingles for the show. You know? Patriots, PFW in progress.
That's another great moment. From
when was that?
That was great. PFW in progress.
PFW in progress.
WNBC.
According to Mike Reese in Reese's Pieces, the Patriots will entertain free agent offensive lineman Barry Sims on a visit to Gillette Stadium tomorrow. The visit was
Good
recorded
call,
by the Sacramento Bee and confirmed this morning with Sims' agent Ken Vieira. The Patriots seem to be interested in adding to their offensive line, as noted by ESPN.com's Hashmarks blog. The league average is 14 linemen per club, and the Patriots are currently right at that number. But with guard Stephen Neal and tackle Oliver Ross not taking part in on-field work at the weekend's mandatory minicamp as they rehab from injuries, the team's numbers are down a bit. Sims met with the 49ers, and after his trip to New England, he is scheduled to meet with the Ravens and Rams.
Do you think, Freddie, that this offensive lineman, sudden interest in offensive lineman, maybe is a bad omen for the future of Nick Kazier?
I think that they are, you know, covering their bets.
Putting contingency plans in place?
We don't know the future of Nick Kazier. So they don't want to be caught shorthanded. You know?
What don't they know about the future of Nick Kazier?
Well, who knows what, you know, what could come out if there's a trial? You know? Who knows? What if the league issues a suspension? Who knows?
Can they do that?
I don't know. I think Goodell can do whatever the heck he wants, as long as it's within the CBA, right?
Yeah, I don't think that's within the CBA.
Oh.
Unless he's in a step that we don't know about, which in case, I think if that was true, he would have been suspended already.
Right.
But I don't know. You're right. We just don't know.
Katie from Delaware?
No.
Does this ring a bell?
No.
No?
No.
That's the guy, Steve, who...
It's Katie, Eric's girlfriend from Delaware. I'm glad
I emailed
Tuesday. Eric finally called me back. By the way, though, he was not happy that I found his podcast. He said he was embarrassed to have me hear it. And
that's
that
true.
The guys he worked with are idiots. He said you
that's
make fun of him
true.
Because of his art and his taste in clothes. I don't think we ever made fun of your clothes.
I think these guys do sometimes.
Yeah, she's 3 for 3.
And his intelligence.
There's the grand slam.
Those are the things that make me love him. He feels very safe to me, like he would never try anything. Every girl needs a friend like that. Okay, well.
Wow, am I to understand? Did you miss the next line?
Oh, I think I'll keep emailing you guys for a while. It's fun, at least until the summer camp I work at starts on July 13th. This would be my second and last year as a CIT, a counselor in training. I make $500 for the whole summer.
Good job, Katie.
Steve, it's the guy's name.
No, it's Katie. Why don't you listen? You know, part of being intelligent is to be able to listen and comprehend.
What's that?
Yeah, you know what I said. Am I to understand, Fred, that we have passed the 12:37 over-under time and we have gotten any emails?
We are on the over
about,
on that.
About how bad the show is because Andy's not here?
No.
Wow.
Yeah, I lost that one.
The fat head's out and no one really is worrying about it? Usually as soon as we start a show, you know, and Andy's not here, and, oh, the show stinks. And then if Andy's here and Eric's not, well, you know, probably a bad example. If Andy's here and Fred's not here, the show stinks. For some reason, you know, if it's not all of us, no one likes it.
Well, Strippers reminds us about Jim McKay, and wonders if we'd have some kind words for Jim McKay. I think they have removed the sweater that he was wearing during that Olympic broadcast.
What is wrong with you?
In all seriousness, really? you're talking about an absolute icon.
He really was. I remember why World of Sports.
Were you watching that?
How about
that day when
countless
when he
other
made
things
the call
that
about
he was a part
Israeli
of?
Athletes?
Of course, I was.
Yeah,
yeah. I was glued to the screen.
You were old enough to be glued.
It was 1972. I was 11 years old.
Yeah, proves my point.
Yeah. So what are you now, Andy?
No,
playing the part
just
of Andy.
Saying,
is,
I was 4.
You got a B-Day coming up, don't you?
He does.
I do. Not to be celebrated, but I
what
do.
You mean not to be celebrated?
I don't.
Birthdays. We had some good cake the other day for Paul's birthday.
Birthdays are overrated.
You have to have the celebration for us to have the cake in the office, Fred. Come on, think of others. Think of others.
Yeah, Todd in Nova Scotia, by the way, had a good line about that birthday cake.
What did he say?
That I really liked. He said, I bet there's never been an ice cream cake that Paul didn't like.
Well.
You got that right, Todd.
There's nothing wrong with
then he called me a fat. Then he called me a fat bastard.
Oh, that that's over the line.
Right, well, it's accurate, though.
Also,
just ask Amy.
The stripper says there's no
hot
Urban
Amy.
Dictionary word of the
not
day
so
today.
Not so Amy.
So, you know, with Andy gone, we've lost that. Well, good thing it's not sponsored.
We lost the Urban Dictionary word of the day because Fathead can't come in on Tuesdays.
Right. What is that all about?
His wife is off on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Regularly scheduled.
So he has
off.
To take it off?
So he decided to use his vacation on Tuesdays during the summer.
So what are they like?
Hey, anytime he's not here is okay with
me.
Yeah, I don't really.
Come on, don't look a gift horse in the mouth here, Fred.
That's true. Get a lot of complaints in the office about him.
Yeah, from our staff.
Do you really?
People that don't understand him, they just don't understand him.
People that understand him complain about him.
Yeah.
You get a lot of complaints around the office, huh? That's very interesting.
Yeah. So, somebody's at the door.
This is webmaster Chris Ferrer from Patriots.com. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. You suck, Andy.
It's true.
Well, Freddie, as my normal role as the Andy Hart fill-in, what does that make me? Jesus, wow, that's boy. Just sad.
You're lower
to fill in for
lower than
Andy
on the total.
It is time for the Urban Dictionary Word of the Day, and today's word is, actually it's two words, birthday caking. That's birthday
caking.
Caking.
Okay.
Let's see what that is.
Wow. Tom writes in about Fred's Jim McKay sweater comment. I'm in tears. That's one of the funniest things Fred has ever said.
Is Tom
Thanks
from
for
Vegas?
Cheering me up, Fred, with your dark humor.
That's what he does, and that's why we love him. That's why we love him. Absolutely, Fred. That was a good line. Even though I just can't believe how tasteless you are.
Well, Jim McKay, getting back to Jim McKay, I remember the Wide World of Sports, and, you know, they were talking about on the radio. Back then, all the things that you watched on Wide World of Sports happened like 2 weeks before.
Yeah. Mm. Yep.
And nowadays, that just wouldn't be acceptable.
Well, it was kind of a kitschy little show. But
and that
even,
guy falling off the ski right. ramp, the urban myth was that he died, but actually he was
no,
fine.
No, he broke his arm, I think.
Yeah, he
that
was
fine.
It. Yeah.
But
the agony of defeat.
The yeah. whole that show. Yeah, you're right, Fred. You couldn't have a show like that today. They'd have to be live events, and I don't really think that it would work. But his Olympic work was unparalleled. Jim McKay was great.
Oh, he was good.
He was the greatest.
Consummate professional.
And back when, well, I probably shouldn't say that, but when the Olympics were still
right
an amateur sport.
Well, I don't care about that, but I think for
but they were
the
also,
same stuff that Fred's talking about, the Olympics were special because you didn't
special,
know the outcomes.
Right. Exactly.
Do you realize that
and there
they,
weren't NHL players playing hockey, NBA
wasn't
players
NBA
playing.
Where it's fixed.
Perhaps the single greatest sports moment of all time, including
Miracle on
any
ice.
Sport, anything.
Miracle
the Olympic hockey in 1980. Yeah. Do you realize that game took place at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and wasn't shown until 8 o'clock at night on ABC?
No, I didn't know that.
I did because I was in the college dorm room.
How could you do that now?
And I heard about the result, and I called the game, and everyone thought I was a genius.
So that's how you've been getting by all these years?
That's right.
And then he went to the crash and said, you know what?
You know what? This internet thing?
I like the U.S. in an upset tonight. And they said, this guy knows what he's talking about, and his last name is Kirsch. He might be Jewish.
Wow.
That's right.
But that was the great.
I think that's what spoiled the Olympics for me is that the internet age and the information age eliminates any drama of athletic competition. To
yeah.
paraphrase Jim McKay, not necessarily as much with the pros because I think the hockey is great, especially the hockey because I'm one of the few people that actually likes that sport.
I actually like Olympic hockey. I'll watch that. I won't watch the NHL. But I like Olympic hockey.
Speaking of Olympics, they're having all kinds of trouble in China. The latest is that now the networks that are covering it and the journalists are at odds with the Olympic Organizing Committee because
no disrespect
they're not letting
the
them
Orient.
Set up. They're not letting their trucks in. Equipment's held up at customs. And mm-hmm. they're telling people if you have a specific complaint, you got to do it in writing. And things are really breaking down there.
I'm not really surprised.
Do you know that
say.
They're going to have 500,000 people working for the Chinese government monitoring all this stuff? It's basically one
see,
person per person that is going to be there.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
But what do they need to be monitoring? I would call it censoring and not monitoring.
Well, I mean, they're very – they don't trust anyone.
Well, I mean –
you know, they feel like they're, you know, their way of life is better and – but there's temptations out there and we're going to infiltrate that and break down their systems and so on and so forth. It's, you know, it's for a long, long, long time, that culture has been a closed culture. They realize now they have to open it up to survive, but it's they're doing it reluctantly.
Open it up. Just give people an option.
Well, that's,
you know, if people want to stay closed, fine. If they don't, give them the option to do that.
Well, they haven't figured out how to make it so people want to stay there yet. You know?
Well, that's because they know people won't
right.
want to stay
well,
that way.
They're a little bit behind, but a lot of people live over there.
Getting my ire up here, Fred.
Uh-oh.
You all right?
Talking politics here.
Uh-oh. Mr. Fox News over here.
All right. So now you're up to his intellectual level so you can have a conversation with him.
Eric Lou Dobbs Scalavino.
He doesn't work for Fox.
Oh, no. He's CNN. Yeah. You're right. Who? Oh, Bill O'Reilly.
No, I don't like Bill O'Reilly. Britt Hume.
Britt Hume?
Britt Hume, yes.
Britt Hume, the monobrow?
No, that's not. No, he doesn't have a monobrow.
He doesn't have a monobrow?
No. Chris Wallace? Son of hey, come
well,
on.
If it's not sports, Paul's not watching.
That's true.
Josh says Andy is
everything but FoxNews.com. Paul
That's
Perillo.
Right.
Josh says Andy is a no talent ass clown,
he's
and
right.
I
you
am always
correct.
Glad yep. when he is not there or when he has his mouth shut if he is present.
That doesn't happen that often, but yeah, we're grateful for that too.
So, I guess now Andy got less. Oh, he got more than you in the voting.
Oh no, he finished behind.
He finished behind.
But it was an equally disgusting display by. Andy and I mean, let's face it, we finished behind you, Fred.
What's not to like about me? I make all this possible.
Yes, you do, Fred. I hold you entirely responsible for the mess that is this show.
Tom has issues with me still.
Is this Tom from Vegas again?
Yeah, Tom. Fred
Tom's
says...
Tom's still not happy with his boss.
Not
happy.
Oh, man.
Chancy move from Vegas.
Fred said Tom doesn't get it. Here was what Fred said regarding the PFW T-shirts. Where are they? Are they done yet? I thought they were done. What design are we using? Did Moore finish creating it yet? Way to go, Fred. Yeah, and we shouldn't force things on anyone. How many ads for the pro shop are on the site trying to jam overpriced merchandise down people's throats? We tell people what to like and what not to like. If we tell them to buy the stuff, they'll buy it. Christ, we've gotten them to buy us lunch virtually every day for over a year. And you don't think we can push PFW merchandise in them? Let me know when the retirement party is, old-timer. See, again, he doesn't
just
get it.
He's not happy with
oh
you.
Oh, my God.
We didn't start the lunch thing. It started on its own. It grew out of its own. You know, now that it's going, we promote it. But we didn't start that. It was, you know, spontaneous. And that's the – those are the best things, the spontaneous things. The stuff that come from the top down – don't last.
Yeah, this is Scott Zolak, and maybe I did steal your lunch, but look how many free ones it got you.
That's right. The things that come from the bottom up have more roots. That's the idea.
I just, you know, he's very angry with you, Fred.
He really is. I know his strategy. So here's his thing. Once we
trying to get fired?
No. The
doing like a Costanza?
The opposite. Once we produce the bobbleheads with our likenesses, there's less chance of me being able to fire you guys because then all those bobbleheads will be in production.
So he's crazy like a fox.
Right. Yeah. So he figures once he gets his likeness done, I'll have to keep him around until at least the inventory's sold out.
Yeah, but then he might have to actually come back from Vegas.
Right. I don't know how that's going to work.
Maybe he'll just keep Allison out there, and then he'll come back real quick, you know, and take care of, tie up a couple of loose ends, and then go back.
You know, actually, he's actually pretty good emailing into the show. I think better than he is sitting here on the show.
Oh, yeah. Well, usually he's watching TV.
So from Vegas, he could still contribute. He could just email into the show.
I don't think Vegas and Tom would be a good match.
No, I got to agree with you on that.
That's like a chicken in a hen house.
That worries me.
Did I just say chicken,
a chicken in a hen house?
Fox in a hen house. Wow, did that guy on TV just look like Chris Farley or what?
Isn't there something about a rooster in there, too?
Rooster in a hen house?
Well, that's the chickens have large talons?
Large talons.
The roosters have to be.
Large talons.
Otherwise, you don't get the eggs.
Right, that's we kind of figured that.
Thanks.
What's the difference between a hen and a chicken?
Isn't a hen a female? Yeah, one's a male, one's a female.
Then what's a rooster?
A hen. That would be a male, I believe.
So a hen is a rooster?
I don't know specifically, Fred, but I'm guessing that a
holy
hen
crap.
Is a female part of the chicken. great moments in PFW in progress history.
I'm just trying to stay out of it so not to sound like an idiot.
I don't think a hen is a male.
That's what we're saying, Fred.
A hen's a female.
A hen's
right,
the female.
So is a chicken.
Gary?
All right, let's see. Taz writes in, do you guys think that Tom Brady is still hurt a little, or is this new shoulder injury type thing? What? You think he's still a little hurt?
Now?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Also, any chance any of these bad boys get picked up by the Pats, guys like Benson and Chris Henry?
No.
I'd say no.
No.
And not enough good info coming out of New England, so this was the best I could do.
Yeah, no, I think the overriding factor, I think, with Benson and Chris Henry, those kinds of guys, they're not productive.
Right.
So why do you take a chance on a guy who's had all kinds of off-field issues and also haven't really been productive? Now, Henry's been more productive than Benson, but also been in more trouble off the field than Benson. Yeah. I don't see that really making much sense.
And Kamani writes in again. He says, is it me or does Eric sound extra gay today?
I can't really tell the difference.
I don't know. Maybe because Andy's not here, you let your guard down. I don't know.
How did I let my guard down?
By sounding extra gay? I don't know.
Is this the man?
A rooster, also called a cock or a chancelier, chanticleer, is a male chicken.
Chanticleer?
The female being called a hen. Immature male chickens of less than a year's age are called cockerels. The oldest term is cock. From Old English. But because cock.
So Andy's a chicken? Is that what you're telling me?
But because cock is more frequently used as a slang term referring to the penis, this term is generally avoided for the sake of both propriety and clarity, although it remains accurate.
Hen equal female chicken. Rooster equal male chicken. So welcome to second grade, Fred.
So they're all chickens.
That's from Ken.
So they're all chickens.
Yes. Which is kind of what Eric said originally.
Chicken was the umbrella
term.
Hen was the female. Rooster was the male.
Okay. All right. Well, I think a lot of people then misuse chickens because I think they use that
to mean the egg-producing females.
Exactly, yeah.
Yep, that's another one for you.
Yeah, I can't wait for that production. Get on that one quick, will you, Gary? Can you get that done before you leave?
Let's see. Josh says the suggestions for merchandise came from listeners. How much more grassroots could that be? We have asked for it. Get it done.
He's got a point, Fred.
Yeah, but 20 listeners.
I was going to say it's not necessarily cost efficient when you're dealing with about 200 people.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. Here's what I'll do. All right? I will research, or I'll have Ken Flanders research, what it costs to get these bobbleheads created. I'll find out what it costs and what the minimum order is. And if our listeners are willing to prepay for those bobbleheads, we'll get them done if it covers the cost. But I'm not going to go at risk.
We're not going to lose money.
Yeah, I'm not going to produce 500 bobbleheads.
We don't necessarily have to make money.
And sell 100 of them.
You want to make one-offs.
Right. We're not going to lose money, but if we sell 200 of them, we can break even or whatever.
But I feel,
we'll do it, but we're not going
to
lose money.
I have to say, I feel uncomfortable. I feel comfortable producing T-shirts because we can give them out and stuff. But bobbleheads, likenesses of us, I don't think we're that level yet. I really don't like
Besides
that.
The fact that we're not really, let's face it, we're not an attractive bunch.
I mean, Tom and Andy might think that we're at that level, but we're not at that level yet. You know, we're still just a little internet radio show.
Well, we're a big internet radio
show, but we're still internet.
We're the largest internet radio show in the world.
In the world, ever.
I'm confident in saying that.
Really?
I'm confident.
What's our universe of other internet radio shows?
That's why I'm pretty confident
you're pretty
saying
confident?
That.
Okay.
I don't know about that. I think there's some big internet shows, foreign stuff.
All right, in the country.
I'd say Patriots.
In southeastern Massachusetts.
Anyway.
Okay. Listen, in the Hockomock region.
All right. There we go. Mensa from the Bronx. How are you all coping with this extraordinary heat? We are all in hell over here, and if hell is going to be this hot, then I am going to try to do anything not to get there. Now, to the question, don't you think with all the negativity going on with this team, you think it is a good idea for them to cut Kazier? Also, do you think any team will give that fool Cedric Benson a chance? I think they should let him go back to Texas and forget about him. We surely do not need guys who are that stupid to know right from wrong.
How many chances did NFL teams, particularly the Dolphins, give Ricky Williams?
Yeah.
So that leads me to believe that some team will give Cedric Benson.
But Ricky Williams never really did anything to harm.
Plus, Ricky Williams was productive.
No, I know.
Ricky Williams ran for 1,800 yards and got second and third chances. This hasn't run for 1,800 yards in his career.
No, but Benson has also split carries.
But he's been terrible.
He has been terrible.
He was the man last year.
He
was terrible.
Right, but he's still young enough that I think a team would say, well, maybe in our system he could do it and then give him a chance. Then after that, if he doesn't pan out.
I agree with Eric. I think he's young enough and someone will give him a minimum contract and a one-year deal to come in and be a backup or something, but I don't think anybody's going out there clamoring to get him.
No, not clamoring,
but even in the way that Pac-Man Jones seemed to generate interest. I don't see Cedric Benson generating any kind of interest like that.
He'll have a job, though, in August.
He'll have a job in August. I'm not sure he'll have one in September. Let's put it that way. I think he gets cut wherever he goes.
Well, if there's one thing that owners could collude on, and I know collusion is against the CBA, it's let's not sign guys like that. But the fact that one owner will, it becomes an arm race, and these guys always, like you said, have an opportunity because there's always going to be one owner that wants to take a risk.
What did you think of the other part of the email I thought was interesting? They should cut Kazier. Because of all the negativity surrounding the team, maybe there'd be a step in, getting, maybe
cleaning house a little.
Cleaning house and getting that perception kind of changed a little bit, forever, however small it might be.
No.
You don't want to cut Kazier until you find out that that's what we're doing.
I don't want to cut Kazier because, guys.
I don't think he's going to make it.
Well, he may not, but guys in this league have done worse and stayed on their team and. He got pulled over for speeding with some pills.
It's all about production.
And then said, well, no, it isn't.
He's not that good. That's why he'll get cut.
He's not that good.
That's why I think he's going to get cut.
Well.
You think he's earned enough, though, enough credit to stay in camp and fight for his job one more time?
Yeah,
that's what you're saying.
I do. And, the fact that
And they can cut him under the guise of it was performance related.
I would like to know what really the situation was. Because, again, if you get caught with a few pills speeding, you don't automatically start wearing a wire for the feds. So I think there's more to this story than we know. I don't know if we'll ever know what it's all about, but we'll see who gets ends up besides this dealer that he was dealing with, who gets arrested as a result of that. I'd be interested to know. Because, you know, OxyContin isn't easy to get. And if he's buying 100 every few days, this guy had a pretty good source. Not Kasier, the guy that was getting it.
Yeah.
So that guy had a pretty good source, mm-hmm. you know, up the chain. So, all right, well, that's going to do it for this edition.
Hold on.
What?
Gary's trying to.
Gary's what?
He was trying to get your attention.
He doesn't know what he's doing in there.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
A rooster, also called a cock or a chancelier, Janet's clear, the female being called a hen. The oldest term is cock from Old English.
So Andy's a chicken? Is that what you're telling me?
Hen equal female chicken. Rooster equal male chicken. So welcome to second grade, Fred.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
Good job.
All right,
Gary.
That's now going to do it for PFW in progress. We will see you Thursday with another edition. Andy will be back. Sorry about that.